The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
So after we take the mug shots, we bring them on down here where they wait to be interviewed by the arresting officer. Trust me, kids, you do not want to be sitting on these benches. We call this place Loserville.
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
She's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, I mean,
is she all there? Like, mentally?
I think so. It's just an odd guy. Kind of weird.
I mean, should we be worried?
No. No.
Paul Perillo.
Don't forget your Rogaine.
Check.
And don't forget to use it. I can totally tell when you forget your hair just looks thinner.
Using of the Rogaine.
Check. And Andy. And Andy?
You have to park so close?
Yeah, what's wrong? Shouldn't be here.
Andy Hart.
Why is that? I'm not supposed to be within 200 feet of a school.
What?
Or Chuck E. Cheese.
Eric Scalavino.
You guys might not know this, but I consider myself a bit of a loner. I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
For now, anyway.
And 6 months ago, I thought, wait a second, could it be? And now I know for sure, I just added to my wolf pack. Four of us wolves. Running around the desert together, looking for strippers.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hey guys, you ready to let the dogs out?
What?
Do what?
Let the dogs out.
You know, like, do let the dogs out. Do.
Yes, we are ready to let the dogs out.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It's Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium, media day, which really just means they give out pizza for free. But other than that, there's a lot going on here. Open locker room. The guys will be here any moment with a report direct from the Patriots locker room. Also, Bill Belichick had a what one tweeter described as a fiery press conference. I'm not sure about that, but we'll get details about that coming up soon. Patriots are practicing today. We'll hear from Eric later in the show about who is out and who is not out at practice, at least during the warm-ups. And we're getting ready for the Colts. Right now, the Patriots have been installed as a 21-point favorite.
The Colts suck.
And I guess something I heard that that's the biggest spread in 40 years, something like that. I don't know, but that's crazy. It'll be a tough one. And overall, I think just from a picking standpoint, there's a lot of tough games to pick this week because you just don't know where teams are, which teams have given up, you know, health-wise. It's a tough period of the season. So we won't really talk about that much, though. But we will talk about that 21-point spread because that is something that I think Bill Belichick is going to do his damnedest this year, this week, to not mention at all, of course, but also just downplay the whole idea of the Colts being a team that you can just show up and beat. You know, according to him, they still got Robert Mathis, still got Dwight Freeney, still got Reggie Wayne, Pierre Garçon. They still have talented players on the field. So if you don't match up well against those players or play well against those players, they're going to hurt you. The problem is the guy that has to give them the ball is Dan Orlovsky. And, yeah, that's the problem. And whether it's he or Curtis Painter, it's been the problem for the Colts all year. They've got some talent out there. They haven't been, except for obviously the 62-7 game against the Saints and maybe a couple others, they haven't really gotten blown out of games. They just keep shooting themselves in the foot. They can't sustain drives. And, you know, that depresses the defense, loses the morale for the defense. So eventually, you know, the wind gets knocked out of them at some point in every game, and they end up losing. But Belichick isn't going to mention that. He's going to be on these guys to be as up for this game as they would be any other game. Paul's here.
Did you watch at all the press conference?
I didn't watch, but I heard one tweeter describe it as fiery.
Well, clearly he is getting his message out there, and I would say that he was as edgy as he's been in a little while with regard to that topic. You know, the whole winless team and how much can you learn and blah, 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 blah. I would say it's an indication that maybe he's a little concerned about the mindset of his team and the focus of his team. And that's probably an effort to say, listen, You guys haven't won anything yet. Let's show up. This is the next game on the schedule. Let's treat it just like the last game on the schedule. And, you know, I think that's the message that he's trying to convey.
You know, he gave them Monday off. Do you think that that was the plan, like, when they come in Wednesday, I'll be real ornery? Or did you think they came in and he saw something that said, you know what, I got to nip this in the bud right now?
Don't know. It's a good question. My guess is the Monday off is that's normal protocol, especially later in the year.
Yeah, when they win.
After a win later in the year, yep. I think you see a lot of teams do that, and I think the Patriots have done that. But maybe he did just want to sort of cut off any potential problems before they manifested themselves. This is a game that the Patriots should win, obviously, and win handily. But I think he just wants to make sure before they even go out there to practice. You know, they haven't practiced yet.
Right.
Before we even step on the practice field, I want to make sure that everybody in here knows this is an NFL game, and like you said, Freddie, the Colts have been in virtually every game. They've had, obviously, the 62-7 game. They got blown out opening day against Houston. They've had a lot of games that were either one-score games or became two-score games very, very late. Jacksonville game a couple of weeks ago was an example of that. It was 10-3. Indy had the ball. They were driving, and Painter threw interceptions on consecutive plays, one of which got overturned by penalty, a defensive penalty, and then he came right back and threw another interception to stop the drive. Jacksonville got the ball and scored a touchdown to win 17-3. You know, they've had a lot of games like that that have been sort of ugly games, and they skirted on the periphery of being competitive and in it, and they just can't make any plays. I wouldn't expect them to make any plays against the Patriots to break that stretch, but Bill, you know, is just trying to guard against it.
Yep.
Do you think there's any pressure going against a winless team this late in the year? You don't want to be the team that lets them win.
I'm trying to think of it from the Patriots' perspective.
I mean, I'd certainly rather play a winless team than an undefeated team. I'm not trying to make it out to be the, you know,
toughest task in football. I don't think there's any more or less pressure. Let's put it that way.
You mean like fighting a girl? You're supposed to win. If you don't.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily
you're supposed to hold up against.
No, but Paul doesn't hold up against girls.
No.
Oh, God. But, right. My, you know. That
I totally knocked him off his ride with that one.
That's a good analogy. But, yeah, the point being, you know, you can play a 2-11 team, and it's not the same as playing an 0-13 team.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, there's a little more pressure involved in that. Now, obviously, I'd rather play a really bad team than a really good team if I had to have the win.
Oh, records are irrelevant.
Yeah, I know. Well, to Bill's Fred already went through the whole thing with Bill.
Were you at the press conference as well?
Yeah.
So what was it that Bill said, and who did he say it to? And I heard one tweeter call him fiery.
He said it a number of different ways. I mean, Ian started it, right?
Yeah.
You know, they're 0-11, and he kind of cut
him
off.
He had a source telling him the Colts were 0-11.
Right, the crap sheet. And then he cut him off and said, in the middle, listen, you know, this is a team, you know, they have, you know, all the stuff that you said about they've had a lot of competitive games. They've been competitive in almost every game, a couple of exceptions, obviously the Saints one he mentioned. And then later it was asked what you can learn. How much can you learn about your team? Because that seemed to be his message: is you learn, you measure yourself against, you measure your team against yourself. You know, you know how you play, and you analyze your team against every opponent. It doesn't matter. So the follow-up question that someone, I think it was from Fox 25, right? Christine Leahy, she's from Fox 25, I believe. She used to work for EEI.com.
Oh, the blonde?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, now Andy knows who you're talking about. Maybe right. He fought her, too.
Right.
I've never fought a woman. She's very good.
Yeah, she does a nice job. And, well, she asked, how much can you really learn about your team when you're playing against these teams? You know, how much can you see your improvement every week when you're playing against teams that aren't improving every week? Which I thought was a good way to put it, rather than saying
very good.
A winless team, you know, a team that hasn't really improved every week.
Right.
And he got really curt on that answer and said, listen, you can go on with your soliloquy there, but, you know, every time you take the field, you know, you don't think you can learn anything going against Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis? You don't think you can learn anything about yourself, you know, having to cover Reggie Wayne and Pierre Garçon?
But even worse, he said, you don't even think you can learn anything about your team by the way your players block Dwight Freeney and Robert Mathis? No, you can't. Those are one-on-one battles. Those are irrelevant of the team.
Right.
You can figure out defense, if he tackles do a
he
nice
emphasizes
job.
To us all the time that pass defense is coverage and pressure. Well, pass offense is receivers beating coverage and having a quarterback who can get them the ball. If they're wide open by 75 yards, you did a terrible job, but they may not score on it because if the quarterback doesn't hit him in stride, if it's a terrible throw,
no.
You learn nothing.
No, that no, you do learn
you
something.
You learn nothing.
Because, you know, if the guy has if the guy beats you and the ball doesn't get there, you can see on film, hey, if that was Peyton Manning, that would have been a complete. Or if Dwight Freeney is constantly, you know, beating that left side, whether or not you win the game or not, hey, what's going on that left side?
You lose one-on-one battles every game, and you win them every
game.
No,
but I'm just saying, if you can figure some things out.
Players.
Yeah, about players.
Yeah, not about your team.
No.
He said team.
Right.
About your team,
and that's,
he said.
And that's what Christine, I think, was trying to get at, was that how basically it's the same thing that we've been talking about. It's my commentary from last week. They're going to win these games, and they're going to win most of them handily. What do you really find out from it? That's the question. And, yes, individually, matchup-wise, you can say, hey, you know what? Nate Solder had a play for an injured Sebastian Vollmer, and he really did a nice job against Robert Mathis. You might find that out. But you're not going
to... But I think that's valuable. Is that not valuable?
Yes, but it's not telling you anything about your team.
No, but it's telling you something about
and that's what the
putting Solder out there against,
that's
you know,
what the question. That's what the question was.
Yeah. Maybe. Maybe, because I'm not sold.
It's but
if you only have two players on defense, obviously you're going to be focused on taking those two players away.
No, but if it's a matchup that is won by a player, it's valuable information. And, you know, that player is good that he went up against.
Sort of.
You know?
I think it's different.
If Kyle Arrington does a good job on Reggie Wayne, you know, even though the balls aren't accurate,
no, but you don't know what kind of pressure you're getting because their offensive line sucks and their quarterback sucks. So you don't know how long Arrington is covering for,
and I would
what
even,
routes they're running. What I just
I
think
would
the
even
butterfly
in,
effect is in full effect.
Throw in the X factor that you can't even really quantify. How did Reggie Wayne play? How did he even go about the game knowing?
Well,
I can make the perfect double move right here and beat this guy because he can't cover me. What's the difference? I ain't going to get the ball anyway.
I mean, you see that on tape too. You know, you'll see if the guy's not going 100%. That will...
But I,
quantify
even, but I don't even. But I don't even mean
100%.
I mean mentally, you know, is he fighting for the ball? Is he doing everything he can?
Yeah.
You know, I think you'll be able to see. He'll be out there competing. He's a professional. He's an all pro, Reggie Wayne.
Yeah.
And he's even in this miserable year, he's still found a way to, you know, he's got 600 or 700 yards receiving, right? You know, he's still finding a way to make some plays. He had a big catch and run last week for a touchdown. I just don't think you're getting, you know, the A game Reggie Wayne every week. Let's put it that way.
Right. I mean, Belichick really can only say what he's saying.
Absolutely.
You know?
And by the way, these great pass rushers have 4 sacks each. So whether it's Paul's thing, whether they've mailed it in, whether there's not enough talent around them to allow them to do their jobs.
They're getting up there, aren't they? Freeney, what's he, 33?
They're 8 and 10-year vets or something like that.
I don't know how old they are, but, yeah, that's probably part of it. But, listen, you hit the nail on the head about the defense when I came in, Freddie. That's a defense completely built, small, speed, get after the high pressure, get after the passer, because they want to play with a lead. If you make them play from behind for 4 quarters, you're probably going to beat them defensively. You're going to have your way with them defensively. Not like if you get a 3-0 lead early in the game, but I'm talking about you score points on them early in the game, and then you don't let their offense dictate what's happening, you're going to beat them.
No.
Because they can't play shutdown defense.
No. Not at all.
They're not equipped for that.
Nope. So, but 21 points, will you be taking them or not?
No, I'm giving them.
Really? Yeah. That's a tough one.
Matter of fact, I'm what is it, Andy? I'm giving 68.5.
68.5?
72-3.
Okay.
I think the Patriots, in all seriousness, will win this game by a lot of points, and I think they'll try to win this game by a lot of points. For your guy, Pelion.
Really?
Yes. I think they'll take every opportunity they can to,
yeah,
to
but,
lay it on.
Yeah, but to me, it's...
I think they look at that 62-7 by New Orleans and say, we can beat that.
Yeah, see, I don't get the feeling that you do. I think that's kind of a shallow, told-you-so type of win if they do that. You know, because they're not a competitive team. So if you do that, what does it show Pelion? You know?
I don't think he's trying to show Polian anything. I think he's just trying to embarrass him. That's
what I mean. How does that embarrass him? The team
the
stinks.
Scoreboard.
I mean, if they're not already embarrassed by being 0-11, when are they going
to
be embarrassed?
I think he'll try to beat him by as many points as he can.
Yeah.
Whereas last week, for example, I think he took the foot off the gas because I think he likes and respects Andy Reid.
See,
I don't think he likes the way that game unfolded with the fans and all that stuff. I think as a professional courtesy for a guy that he likes in Andy Reid,
yeah,
he didn't like that last week, the way the fans treated Andy Reid.
I think
that's why he went out of his way to say how good of a coach he thought Reid was in the post-game press conference,
I think
specifically talking about Andy Reid.
I think he's going to show pity on the fans of Indy and the players of Indy.
Listen.
And maybe Jim Caldwell.
I've been wrong many times in trying to figure out exactly what's going through Bill's mind. I think if they get a chance to, you'll see them doing the 2007 version of, you know, let's stay five wide and throw the ball in the fourth quarter and try to score touchdowns. I really think they will.
Okay.
72-3.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline. We already have several emails coming in. What happened in the locker room?
Andy got a chance to talk to Andre Carter at the end and got swarmed, which was unfortunate.
It was really like, you know, you ever see those like wide angle views of the, you know, Serengeti Desert in Africa when the wildebeests are like migrating? That's what it looked like in the locker room today. You know, a player would walk in and like this horde of media would just like rush to the locker room, and then he'd take a beeline and go into the train, and they're like, oh.
Because nobody talked. I mean, two of the bigger guys were Slater and James Ahedebo. No offense to those guys, but you're not exactly superstar spokesman of the team.
Ninkovich held court for a while, and then
Did you have to shoot that twice or something?
No, why?
It seemed like it was really long.
Yeah, I said to Moose, I said, that was kind of long, huh? But, plus we talked a little bit afterwards.
You talked to Ninko for the PFW
for the TV
show,
but he talked to everybody before that.
Oh, that's not good.
Of course, before.
Right.
Not, you know, not, they didn't get to talk to him after I was done.
Right.
No, before.
Right.
So I don't work for the Globe or the Herald.
I like when he gets like that.
It is a little ridiculous, don't you think?
And I got a little one-on-one with Wes Welker that you'll read in First Down for our boy Strippers. Was a something he wanted me to ask about, so I'll tease it, but look for it in First Down. It's a good one.
There you go. I was giving you way too much credit. I thought you were doing like research and stuff.
Oh, no. I had a source. No one else does research either. They all have sources. You know, Ian Rapsheet has the press releases.
Well, here's a question.
Andy, by the way, just an insufferable onslaught on the crap sheet. He won't stop. It's just you allow it again.
You told me to stop for a while.
I told you.
I cut back.
I told you that when a guy is out there in public making appearances and publicizing them, he should be held accountable to what he says on those appearances.
Right.
I think that's fair game.
If you
hear something that I say on Comcast TV, our listeners are quick to point out that I said something stupid.
But
that's fair game.
But is there no professional courtesy?
No.
A doctor will never criticize another doctor.
No.
Well, I'm certainly not a doctor.
I'm like Bill.
Although that's changed kind of lately. I think now there's no...
They criticize other doctors?
Yeah, and there's no professional courtesy anymore. Lawyers criticize lawyers. Doctors criticize doctors.
And then you were telling me this morning that we need to give props to... Who's it? Chris in Connecticut?
Yes, Chris in Stamford.
Who came up with JGJG.
Right, in a blog posting back in August.
Okay. Well done.
So
we'll give him credit where credit is due. I'm not going to lie. I'm not familiar with the blog, but...
Yep. Patriots Daily.
Congrats for JGJG. Great minds, I guess.
Yeah. So going into this game then, if you're Bill Belichick, you know, what are you looking for? What do you want out of your team in this game? Are you, you know, secretly disappointed if for some reason you don't beat them by three touchdowns?
Yes.
You are.
Yeah.
I mean, if the Colts play you tough on defense and kind of hold you back a little bit.
But the Colts shouldn't play me tough. If I play them well, I'm better than them. I'm more talented.
Well, you beat them, and maybe you beat them by a couple scores.
Oh, well, I mean, I'd have to see how it played out. But if they're in a dogfight, I think it's a problem. It's not good. If they rally around Dan Orlovsky, it's not good.
Yeah, you know, if if you get a first half like you did against Kansas City, I don't think that's good. Do you?
No, I don't.
I mean, this game shouldn't be that competitive for that long. I don't think.
You know,
I agree with Andy. I don't know. I wouldn't put a score on it, you know, but
you
know
already have 72-3.
No, but you know it when you see it. In other words, I thought the game Sunday, 38-20, was far more lopsided than the 34-3 game against Kansas City, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Kansas City game was much tighter. Yeah. Score doesn't really show that.
Right.
But that score, that game was much tighter. Once the Patriots got their bearings down 10-0 against Philadelphia, the game was over. The game was over when they were losing 10-7. Now, if you would allow me to continue to do the nod, I really thought that when it was 10-7 and Young threw the interception, when he missed the guy wide open down the sideline, that was game.
I might bring back the nod for the playoffs.
I don't think you want to do that.
No?
No.
Okay. Especially but just, not the way the last two postseasons have gone. He'll be nodding, but you won't like it.
By the way, I did not have any incorrect nods against the Jets in that playoff game last year. But just to, I mean, looking at these scores, you know, 27-19 to Cleveland, 23-20 to Pittsburgh, 24-17 Tampa, 28-24 to Kansas City, 27-17 to Cincinnati, fumble return in the last 2 minutes to make it 27-17. And then the 17-3 game that I just talked about in this past one, 27-19 to Carolina. That's a lot of games that they could have won. One-score games, all of those games. Yeah, and they did. They had a 34-7 and a 62-7. And Atlanta was 31-7. So they've been blistered three times.
Who was 34-7?
Houston. The number one team in the Wilson-Hart Power League,
right.
So no shame there.
So when they've played good offenses, good quarterbacks, they've sucked.
And that's why I'm thinking it's going to happen here. Because I mean, you know, when they
the
play...
only Pittsburgh's a good quarterback and a decent offense, but for the most part, when they've played a legit quarterback and a legit offense, they've gotten their doors blown off.
Yeah, and I think that's going to happen again. I think when you they can't stop the run or the pass. This is Andy had it in the preview in the boxes. This is a game that you really get fat on. I mean, you can get
sure.
Your offense going on both sides.
Pad those stats.
Yeah, you get your
you
run.
Should.
You get your run going. You get some
yep.
some passing success. You should be able to do anything you want against this team.
And if you don't,
ill equipped to stop.
If it's a struggle. Then you know what you know it when you see it, that it's a struggle. It's not going as easily as you expect it to be, and I think Bill would be upset.
Now, I think you could look at the next two games after this, the two road games, Washington and Denver, a little bit differently. I think they might have some things. I expect the Patriots to win both, and they'll probably wind up winning them both easily. But I do think there's elements that would concern you going into both of those games on the road in tough places to play.
They can bog you down.
Yeah, you could get bogged down.
Good stretch of games here for
one.
The tackles. You go from Freeney and Mathis to Kerrigan Arakpo to Miller and Doomerville. I don't know who's after that.
That's true.
Cameron Wake.
Wow. We've seen him.
He failed me miserably.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's because there's no one else on the team. At least these have bookends.
He's the only
you have
guy,
two.
Yeah, he's the only guy that provided any pressure in that Monday night game.
Yeah, though. I know, but it was few and far between.
I saw Devin McCourty in the locker room. Any chance that he's back?
I would think.
I would,
you think so?
He ran. He's one of those guys, the herd of Serengeti.
Yeah,
whatever.
Is that what you called it?
Wildebeest in the Serengeti.
Can you use that voice?
What?
You know, like, use those voiceovers on those nature things usually are very distinct.
As the sun rose.
I can't.
Right.
It's
right. Similar to NFL Films.
Right. Right. I think it's the same guy.
That's a good gig if you can get it.
I think the NFL Films actually shoots those, right?
It's a lot of slow motion of the wildebeest going along.
Hey, wait, there's Steve Sable.
Did you read anything into the Phillip Adams maneuvering where they released him yesterday and then the questions about it today? And Bill said we'd had a move and we felt like we kind of had to make a move.
We need to make a move.
Did you read anything into that? Like somebody's hurt, you need a this or something like that?
I didn't hear that, but I heard there was a 23 that was unidentified in the locker room, a jersey 23.
I missed that.
No.
Lee Bodden?
I don't know.
That's what someone had said that you think they'll bring. Oh, actually, Flash said it to us. Matt LePin, if you think they'll bring Bodden back.
Well, so I was reading the tweets, and somebody said, oh, there's a 23 jersey. We don't know who it is. Or usually those jerseys have names on them, though, don't they?
No, they're practice jerseys.
Practice jerseys.
It'd be a blue 23 or a white 23.
So there's somebody there. Nobody knows who it is, though. Yet.
So that's not as interesting to me. Some people were speculating maybe Vollmer's hurt. You need another tackle because he was in a boot and supposedly had x-rays.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
But. Certainly 23 is
the
not
playing. Had to make a roster move to me isn't adding a defensive back.
No, that's what
to
I
me,
mean.
Someone's injured and you needed to replace him.
But that wouldn't really
now I could see
work.
That the Adams McCourty thing, that I think there's a possibility that you feel pretty good about McCourty's availability this week. maybe that gives you the luxury of getting rid of Adams. Or you might also just say, this is a team that's not going to hurt you in the passing game. We can have one less defensive back this week, even if McCourty's not quite ready. Because to me, I would play that game. This is an 0-11 team. I'm going to beat him. I'm going to let McCourty get another good week of rest. And I know that you would almost never act like that, and Bill certainly wouldn't ever admit to that. But I would do that. Unless he was absolutely 100%,
right.
I would not play him this week.
If he needed time or could use time.
If he could use a little bit more time, I would give it to him.
Right. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398.
Did not see Vollmer today.
We got a couple open lines. Let's just get to some emails, shall we? One is from Tim.
Do we have a producer?
He had to do an errand, he said.
Yeah,
he
like get our food, I hope.
He put your mic on. He said your mic is on. But I have to go do an errand.
I'm surprised it's on. He said that before, and it wasn't.
No, I can hear you.
He's an idiot.
Tim writes it, Fred,
Tim.
You honor me by reading my email. I have a rant and a question. First, my rant to the caller who criticized Fred's physical appearance. You are a fool, a loser, probably a high school dropout who was on welfare. Nobody cares about you, knows who you are.
A lot of listener
short,
crime.
You suck. Fred, after hearing the person's comments on you, I looked up your picture. You remind me of Mufasa, the king of the jungle from The Lion King. You do not have to take crap from a no-name loser who lives with his mother. We need a call-in from Fred on the pregame show, not Eric. Nobody cares about Eric. With the exception of the loser who tried to meet him, more people should try to meet Fred. Are you with me, Paul and Andy?
If I'm
not,
with you.
Screw you. Nobody cares about you either.
I'm with you, Tim. Take that back.
If you agree with me, please disregard the previous comment. Now for my question. After Deshaun's poor performance this season, some say the Eagles may let him try free agency. Because of this season,
yes.
I think he'll be cheaper. Do you still want him? And finally, I declare today Fred Appreciation Day. Call us, tell us your favorite thing about Fred. I like the cut of your jib, Tim. Deshaun Jackson.
If you could get him on the cheap, which I don't think you will.
You can't, so no thanks.
I would take him on the cheap, but I would not be willing to give him money and then see how he reacts to getting the money.
Yeah, no interest.
Would you give him like a one, you know, a multi-year deal that is a 1 year out? But big if you go beyond 1 year for him?
No.
No?
I don't really care for him.
I would.
You would, Paul. Yeah.
If I could get a team-friendly deal, yeah. Andy's right. You can't get him a team-friendly deal. I don't think.
All right. So
you're Mufasa. Andy got to be scarred then.
Yeah.
You're a bad guy.
That ain't right.
You're looking to overthrow the government.
Right.
No. Who are you?
Simba.
The old monkey who makes no sense?
Simba.
That guy who no one understands.
I'm the, who's the warthog?
Oh, yeah. No, that should be me. He farts a lot.
Oh, man.
And Eric's the little with the warthog.
Yeah.
Is Timba? No, Simone? Timon?
Timon.
And Simba. No, Simba's.
No, Simba's the little lion. The son.
I could definitely see you as
Speaking
a lion.
Speaking of though. Eric, I was thinking of his plight. And
you know what? Apt term.
Yeah.
Plight.
You know,
did you learn that on his Scrabble word of the day?
No, I didn't. But, you know, he's obviously attracted to younger women in, you know.
I can't believe you let that much time go.
In their early 20s, and I dare say not any younger, but, you know, let's leave it at early 20s. And, you know, so, but he comes across as he wants to be, you know, a bon vivant type of erudite type of guy. And unless you got a lot of money, those don't appeal. Those don't appeal to that age group, you know? So I think he's got to change his persona. I think
he
can't. You know, if you're going to be as old as he is and appeal to, and not have money, you have to offer some type of danger, some type of adventure, some type of, you know, like.
He's going to be a bad boy.
Yeah, like, you know, driving, you know, without a helmet on a, you know, wearing leather chaps on a motorcycle.
Oh,
or
I'm
holding
sure
up
he's
banks,
had the chaps on.
You know.
Assless chaps.
You know, armed robbery or, you know. Something like that. You got to offer that to the girl. So,
Fred condoning armed robbery.
So, you know,
really advising.
Yeah, you know, traveling, you know, hiking in Iran or something like that. You know, you have to offer some.
I'm all for that. They get kidnapped all the time.
Yeah, you have to offer excitement if you're that old. You don't have money, but you're going after younger women. You know,
I agree.
They're either looking for excitement or money.
Or large penises.
Well.
And we know he doesn't have that.
But that's just like one night stands type thing.
Well. He just needs to change his demographic.
Well, that or like a,
he can't succeed like in the said, demographic after, he's chasing.
Right. If he went after a desperate divorcee, he might have a chance.
Right, cougar.
But it's not. Right. But it's not even about the appearance. Like, I'm not telling him he should, you know, stop trying to pick up attractive women.
No, they just need to be desperate.
But, you know, if I got a scouting report from Bilo, said the girl was very cute, but 22 years old.
Half his age.
If she's the same looking woman at 35, fine.
Whose clock is ticking,
right,
and she's
right.
Got to settle down.
Right.
This girl's got her whole life ahead of her, and Eric is going to appeal to her? No.
Right.
Money is the only thing. With that age gap, money is the only thing that's going to be appealing for a 22-year-old girl.
Right.
Yeah.
And well, it should be. Why should they settle?
No. Yeah.
You know?
Ridiculous. Did you talk about the Edelman
just a little
question?
Digression. Yep.
We have not gotten into Edelman.
Did you listen to that at the end of the press conference?
Andy's a little concerned.
I did not. I didn't hear the press conference.
There was a whole run of Edelman questions. First and foremost, after, you know, bitch-slapping Rap Sheet for saying that Edelman's career was over at wide receiver, he's more comfortable on defense, he already done more than he's ever done at receiver, and he should stay there, Bill left that door open today in the press conference and said, you know, we don't know where it's going, and you can't really make a decision on that till you see where it's going, and we haven't reached that point yet where we, you know, he talked a lot about, as he always does, the learning curve, and is it still going up, is it slowed down, whatever, which I found interesting, that whole discussion, that he kind of left the door open for him being a DB. And then at the end, Rich Garvin of the Worcester Telegram asked Bill if he's seen any improvement in Edelman's work ethic since he got arrested. Mm. And then followed that up with, well, I've just noticed since he's not in the entertainment pages as often. And Bill actually answered both questions very openly about work ethic and how Edelman's worked since he got here, but he hasn't seen a change. He's still one of the hardest workers. I thought for sure he was going to get throw up face,
mad,
grunt, and walk off. And he didn't. I was stunned. The guy brought up entertainment pages in a question, and Bill answered the question. Why is that?
I don't know.
But do you legitimately think Julian Edelman could be it? By the way, I have a source who attended an event with Julian Edelman this week and posed that Ian Rappaport used his name, said, you should be a full-time defensive back. And the wide receiver, as he should, went, pfft, and rolled his eyes.
Well, after the game, he was asked by several people, what do you like better, offense or defense? And his stock answer was, I just like being on the field.
As it should be.
Right.
That should be the answer. But this was off the record, just at an event, and he rolled his eyes and pfft, which is the proper answer. I'm sorry. He's a nice little story now. He's not going to be an every down cornerback for you, nickelback, any of that. And I doubt that he wants to do it. He wants to play, yes. But I think he also wants to replace Julian Deion Branch or Wes Welker and be a receiver.
Yeah.
Make plays. Get some balls in his hands.
You wonder if he's getting any of those reps in practice.
Well, he still plays offense. He still gets some.
No, I know. In practice, I said.
Well, I can't imagine he's not getting them in practice if he's getting them in games.
He's getting them in practice.
Well, I know, but you can't do both in practice, right? You got to do one or the other.
I think he probably gets very little rest in practice. I think he probably is going back and forth.
The ones don't go against the ones.
Sometimes they do.
No.
Not often.
No.
That's why they have scout
teams.
There's
only so many guys there.
Yeah, they're called scout teams. There's some of the ones on the scout team, but it's a scout team. So he can get reps in the slot, and he can get reps on offense.
Web radio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the phone number. Let's see. Dwayne writes in, the reason Taylor Price has not been on the field because the Patriots don't want to disrupt the flow of the offense. This is a big thing for Tom Brady. Let me tell you why. Deion Branch, Wes Welker, if you hear Tom Brady press conference, he is comfortable with them, saying he doesn't have time in his career to grow with young receivers. Brady is in a mode of Super Bowl win or nothing. If this was 2002-2004, Taylor Price would have 5 TDs, 37 receptions, 609 yards. But Brady Tech never had a losing season. He doesn't want to coach up wide receivers. Either they get it like Moss and Wes did, Gaffney Caldwell did, or you don't play. Or you don't play much. Bill and Tom Brady are out to beat all records and win Super Bowls.
Taquan Underwood, Matthew Slater.
I think
those guys have played.
I understand what he's saying about, you know,
well, Brady
always,
flat out
there's
said
only
that.
So much time you can devote to a new guy like that, but it's a little bit unrealistic.
But it's also irrelevant. Taquan Underwood and Matthew Slater have played offense this year. The question is, why are they putting those guys out there ahead of Taylor Price?
Right.
So it's got. Brady said all that. Brady said all that on the record, that I don't have time to hold people's hand, and if you waste time doing that, you lose a year where you should have been competing for, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but that was his basic tone. But the issue is, bottom line is, why is Taylor Price active if he's useless? Just get rid of him if he's useless. If he's not useless, then he should play, because Tyquan Underwood came in and played.
No.
And I still don't blame Brady 1 ounce for that drop. I saw it like five times again last night.
No.
Ridiculous. Yeah. If I were Brady and Bill
didn't
said...
Didn't it seem like he had his hands in the wrong? He didn't know what to do
with
his
hands? Yeah, he didn't know what... And I think Bill's saying if it had been over him, he could have hauled it in like Dante Stallworth liked
right,
to.
Right.
I don't care. He's a pro receiver.
Right.
So it was off by a half a yard.
Right.
Catch the ball.
Right.
Adjust. Ridiculous.
Pro.
All right. Webradiopatriots.com, 508-298-0398. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
You're a business traveler who's flying away. You can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Browns!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
We all know Paul Perillo isn't afraid of a microphone or a camera.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
During the season, Paul can be seen on programs like PFW TV, Patriots All Access, Patriots Today, and Mohegan Sun Sports Tonight. He can also be heard daily on Patriots.com during PFW in Progress, or on 98.5 The Sports Hub during, well, any show that will take him.
I need more airtime. I'm gonna make that clear.
And we thought Andy had a big head.
Maybe it'll be Patriots Today's Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, our version.
As long as Paul Perillo is involved in that version, I'm all for it.
Now, back to Paul Perillo and those other guys.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress, we're taking your emails at webradio@patriots.com and your calls at 508-298-0398. The phones aren't busy today. Nobody's calling today. Huh? Weird. A lot of emails, but not a lot of callers. A little strange for a Wednesday.
Maybe people have more work on Wednesdays.
Well, it's the holiday season. People are busy. That's true.
They're online shopping.
Well, they're cramming a lot into a work day.
I bet you they're all shopping.
My wife bought one of those light-up deers. So listen to this.
The one that moves?
Yeah. Well, she's very skittish, okay? Like, if you walk up behind her and, you know, you can scare her very easily. So she...
I'm guessing Fred does that a lot.
No, I do.
His boxers.
One of the things I do is, like, I'll wait by the bedroom window when she drives up in her car and she gets out of the car. I'll go, hey! Like that. But anyway, so she assembles this deer downstairs. And so now it's assembled. She forgets about it, goes back upstairs, comes back down, and it scares her.
So we were wrong about our roster speculation, Andy, you and I anyway. The Patriots signed veteran defensive back Nate Jones. 29 years old, played with Dallas from 04 to 07, Miami 08, 09, and then a little bit more in 11, Denver in 10. Was a seventh-round pick in Dallas out of Rutgers in 04, 5'10", 185, 101 games, 10 starts, 6 sacks, 3 picks, and 59 special teams tackles.
I like what I've seen out of this guy, Nate Jones.
No relation to Pac-Man.
So
he's been around a long time, hasn't started a whole lot. 10 starts in 101 games. So
he's a special teams backup. He'll be wearing number 23.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a good
good
guess, Fred.
Nate Jones.
Where was he?
I don't know.
I mean, they've signed enough DBs
Miami.
And brought it. No. Oh, he was recently.
In 11.
Well, but that's what I mean. Like,
yeah.
When in 11?
Signed back with Miami September 20th, 2011. Played in 2 games with the Dolphins and released on October 5th.
That's what, you know, we've had need at defensive back for like a month plus. How come he wasn't suitable?
So we obviously thought that there was other guys, you know, the guys that we went with were better.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's tough. Eric with a K.
I wonder if maybe there's something even physical with like Phillip Adams, and you're like, well, he's not going to be able to play.
He was the one who got banged up the other day.
I thought Molden was, wasn't he?
Oh. Which one got banged up the other day, Fred? One of them did.
I thought it was Molden.
I think you're right. Yeah, Molden.
Late in the game.
Yep. I remember him getting up slow. They had to walk him off.
But anyway, Nate Jones is your newest Patriot.
Nate, we have two Nates now.
Eric, all the way up from Sweden, writes
in. Should I tweet out that according to sources, the Patriots signed Nate Jones?
You should do it. It'll be funny. Won't be as funny if it comes from me. Do it. Nah. I have a source telling me.
Let's do breaking news. Patriots have not signed Darren Sharper,
who actually retired, I believe, the other day.
When news breaks, we break it.
That's ESPN. Patriots have no interest in Darren Sharper, and that'll be on the crawl.
I saw a bunch yesterday. I think it was Del Rio. A lot of can confirm. Del Rio fired and who is it, Mel Tucker or somebody is going to be the interim. Everybody was confirming it, and I thought Paul would get really mad. Can confirm.
I just think that's so ridiculous. You don't? Seriously, you don't think that's ridiculous? I'm not saying that it should bother you like it bothers me, but you don't think that's ridiculous?
A little, I guess.
Can confirm.
I guess if you consider yourself a trusted source and your readers are loyal to you and it's not true until you say it's true.
No, but okay, so let's just say that Albert Breer says, my sources say that Jack Del Rio is going to be fired. Then you, as another outlet, call the Jaguars and you ask the question, is Jack Del Rio going to be fired? And they say yes. Do you need to say now that it was a confirmation of his story, or can you just come out and say...
I would just say it,
yeah.
And if you want to. I mean, a lot of times, to me, it's choice. It's back to professional courtesy, as first reported by somebody, so-and-so.
Okay.
But I don't think you need to.
No problem with that. If you say, you know, Adam Schefter reports right on the money, Del Rio out, confirmed with Jaguars, that to me is different. The whole can confirm is like you're saying, now it's real.
Right.
Now I said it, so it's really... It's accurate.
And the other aspect...
We didn't really believe that.
I think that's the way it comes off. Now, maybe they don't mean it like that, and they're just doing their due diligence. And you don't just... Listen, you need to do that. You don't just say, well...
Well, sure.
Even if it's the most trusted guy that you've ever had.
Right.
You know, Mike Reese, to me, is a guy that I would never doubt if he put something out there. But it still would be wrong of me to just say, well, Mike Reese said it, so
right.
It's true.
But my point is, why even say we can confirm it if you're not going to cite... What you're confirming.
Right. I agree.
You
if
know?
You're confirming it, you should mention the original report.
Right.
Well,
if
Del
not,
Rio fired
right.
can't confirm, it would say, or something like that. Give credit to the guy who wrote it first.
Right. If you feel the need to say confirm, then you should at least give them the courtesy.
And the other thing is, you, and this is stuff that I know that the listeners don't really like when we get into our media nitpicking, but you know in your mind if you knew something. There's many times that we've seen releases come out that we've already known about. Because we hear things. We're here in the stadium. But there's many others that we don't know about.
Right.
You know in your mind, if someone says Del Rio got fired, Vito Stellino, our buddy from the original PPGS, he may have known all along. Or he may have had no idea. You know, he knows. So if you really didn't know, I mean, you really should credit the other guy.
Right.
Well, only to me, and they had a press conference yesterday at noon or something. To me, you only have to credit him for the time leading up to the press conference. Once there's a press conference, now it's just public information.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer news. But
yeah.
In the
No need to write, can't confirm.
It's fact. Earl Weaver,
exactly.
Whatever his name is, Jed Weaver. What's his name?
Wayne
Weaver just said he's fired.
Earl Weaver,
is
Jed
Is that
Weaver.
Simply the case of make the other guy do the bad business? Is that what that is? Because he announced at the exact same time that we're selling to Shaka Khan.
Maybe, but, you know, I said it earlier, and you know, Pro Football Talk also said it yesterday. All this talk about the Jaguars aren't leaving. Why should we believe Wayne Weaver saying that now?
Right.
When less than a month ago they had a statement that the team is not for sale. So
right.
I mean, that is in play. Believe me.
And he didn't say they weren't leaving. We have no plan or you know,
the
wording
is
good enough.
But leases can be broken.
God, yeah.
You know,
and maybe it's like my thing. Literally, maybe if they can trade for Tebow, they feel like they can rebuild it there
right.
or something. Maybe they feel there's a couple moves. If this happens, we'll stay,
right.
but otherwise, we're gone.
Robert Kraft had a lease on this on keeping the Patriots here, and if he wanted $70 million cold cash, the
right.
team would be in St. Louis. So that was the offer. He could have made $70 million in cash if he wanted to get out of that lease.
What?
Nothing.
Eric in Sweden.
A lot of Erics today.
First of all, I want to say I love you too. Most of our Patriot playbook, least of all PFW, where you guys always seem to shout at each other nonstop for 2 hours. Still, it's a great show as well most of the time. It seems that the Patriots are very good.
It's a love-hate thing.
Did you hate us or did you love us?
It's a love-hate thing.
Most of the time he loves us.
Well, then why'd he say he has to hate us?
Because of that right there. Just relax.
Move on. It seems that the Patriots are very good, if not great, this season, but I also have a feeling that they lack key components on offense as well as defense, and as the competition gets tougher down the line, there is a risk that the Patriots will be ousted from the playoffs in their first game this season as well. In what area, according to you guys, are the Patriots in most need to add another player or players? And then he writes in the defense backfield, secondary, offensive line, blocking tight end, third tight end, like Algie Crumpler, deep threat, wide receiver, or elsewhere?
Defensive backfield.
Defensive backfield?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think a little solidarity back there now. Coverage. That could happen if Chung comes back and McCourty comes back and plays well. You get your wish.
Yeah, I mean on top of those guys.
Okay. Well, I think that's what they'll do in the offseason for sure.
I mean, I think this person wants to know about winning in the
January. I know. And what, if any, players are the Patriots likely to actually pick up and who will be released?
Nate
Would love
Jones.
To say goodbye to 85, and Taylor Price just never seems to get on the field. I won't even get in on the Randy Moss debate, and I sure hope they're not seriously thinking T.O. And also, I just have to say, Logan Mankins would make a great Swede. Talk about Viking. Love that guy.
He's got the Viking look.
Yep. He's no Kyle Turley, but he definitely has that Scandinavian look.
Although I haven't seen him lately because he's never in the locker room.
Yeah, I want to talk to him, too.
We think he has an injury.
Oh, okay.
You don't think that's a possibility?
Well, he looked okay after I said yesterday getting on the bus, but
that's
you never
different.
Know.
You
yeah.
If you had a lower back injury or a little something, you never know.
Toussaint writes in.
Toussaint.
Putting in his two songs.
He says, how's it going? I'm loving the show lately, especially the listener on Listener Crime. I got to give Jeff
from
Vegas credit. He has good picks. And he is hilarious. My question, why did they cut Phillip Adams when our secondary is so beat up? He played decent. I hope he's picked up back up. And are we really going to rely on Edelman as our third corner?
Maybe.
We just talked about Nate Jones is the gentleman that they picked up to replace Phillip Adams as that ostensibly extra defensive back.
Who plays a lot right now.
Yeah.
Alex from Philly. Great win for the Patriots on Sunday. I don't know how this defense is hanging on, especially being as thin as they are, but they are, and that's great. The offense got off to another slow start, but I guess I'd prefer them to start slow and finish strong than the other way around. It was great to see a wide receiver other than Welker get involved for once. What happened to Ocho? I heard he got injured, really. More importantly, what happened to Price? I know that Andy was upset that Underwood got the start over Price. I was, too. I bet Price would have made that catch.
Would have.
Seriously, though, is he that inept? Could he not have run the same route that Underwood ran? Did he murder somebody? Is he somehow involved in the Penn State scandal?
Oh.
I mean, what is it? Anyway, being from Philly, I have the displeasure of seeing and hearing the Eagles media all the time while also dealing with these lunatic fans. That being said, the media as well as the fans were killing Andy Reid after the game, practically begging for his firing.
Yeah.
Since people where I live know that I'm a big Pats fan, as you might assume, I had to hide out for a while before it was safe for me to leave my house again, but it was well worth it. Well, it's good that we have a bye week coming up so guys can get healed. Oh, wait, I forgot it was against the Colts. That's always a tough matchup. And since they
Fred had that, like, quizzical...
And since they are now scoring in the double digits and have a new QB, it may be even tougher. I mean, Tom might actually play in the second half. What was it that Paul said about the Jets against Denver a few weeks ago, as long as they showed up? Yeah,
yep.
I think that applies here also.
It does.
One last thing. My hate for Tebow is just like his so-called intangible. It's something that you just can't measure. And just like Tebow, you are all now better off for having read my email.
Right. Good job.
Good email.
That was a good email.
Yeah.
Talking about the thin defense, I brought this up to Paul the other night. Did you see, Fred, that there were 14 players recorded a defensive tackle? That's it. Like, it was, I don't know, a third less comparatively side by side next to the Eagles. You have 11 starters.
Well, made tackles at all.
They were all on, they all had defensive tackles.
Right. No, but for the Patriots, for the Eagles, there was only 15 that made defensive
right.
tackles.
But do you
there was another 8 or 10, you know, for.
Right. That's because all your special teamers play defense.
Exactly.
But do you remember when Pepper Johnson a couple years ago, you know, really defense, you go like 19 deep and you're rolling guys. We only go 14 deep with people that are having any impact on defense.
Andy was incredulous.
I just find it amazing. And I know some guys played that didn't record sadly, you know, I didn't go blow by blow, but maybe Brandon Dedrick didn't have a tackle and didn't, I don't know, there's probably a couple of those guys, but I just find it amazing. And one of those is your wide receiver, who had the same number of tackles as your all-pro middle linebacker.
I knew you couldn't pass that one up.
Well, you know, in his defense, I was watching a highlight just today, and there was one where McCoy starts up the middle. Mayo shoots the gap and is in the backfield. McCoy takes a left and runs into the arms of somebody else. But it really was caused by Mayo. He gets no credit for the play on the stat sheet. But
well, he will in the Patriots stats.
Well,
yeah.
Sure. But
tell he gets to 175 tackles.
You know, but he really caused that play. So, I mean, I think we really do need to review these tapes closely.
Yeah, he's great.
Let's go to the phones. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dan and Harriet's on the phone. Hey, Dan.
Gentlemen, how's it going?
Great. Tremendous. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm just wondering if Andy's in the same situation I am, where I'm teetering on the edge of the Taylor Price bandwagon.
Yeah, I've kind of just given up. I there's nothing left to do. You can't bring any reason to it and think about it because you'll drive yourself nuts. So just give up.
I mean, just think of it this way. Look at all the players that they've cut this season. I mean, Sanders gone, Page, Auden, Ainsworth. I mean, I'm surprised. I can only imagine the headache that the inventory guys at the pro shop are having with all the times Adams and Ventrone have been on and off the roster. I mean, if all those guys, they have the decency to cut, why is Price still on this team if he can't get on the field?
I have no idea. And even worse, why is he active? This is a team where supposedly every roster spot counts. Even today, Nick Caseria was talking about Edelman, and you only have so many players, and you know roster spots are so valuable game day. Well, they're so valuable that three times this year, Taylor Price hasn't left the side of the coaches ever to do anything. He just doesn't play.
I don't get it. Especially when third receiver is such an issue right now, when they only really have two legitimate receivers and they can't play outside.
Inexplicable. It's the answer.
I think it's time to just release him and let him go somewhere else. Let him have a, you know.
Oakland. Touchdown.
Let him go
I
and
mean,
play
the only
somewhere.
Thing I can think of why he might still be here is if they think he has some sort of big play ability that they can tap into, and I think he does, but they're not willing to take a chance on
him. Yeah, but that would be my question. Even if you think he has big play and you have this, like, minute role, don't you need to hone that a little bit at some point before you just unveil it in week one of the postseason? I think he needs reps.
I mean, if he doesn't see reps in a game like this one, you know, against the Colts, I don't see why you keep him on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be, you know, that'll probably fly in my face, because I'm going to be writing about this in the upcoming issue of Patriots Football Weekly, and I'll probably write it, and then he'll end up with 8 catches for 110 yards for Brian Hoyer in the second half.
So speaking of that game, I mean, do you think we kind of have to see some more of Ridley in this game? Because I would think if he can't get on the field in this game, like, what are you doing?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think they'll try to get the running game going. And my guess is two of those three will have a major factor, and the three I'm including are Shane Vereen, Ridley, and Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis. I don't know that there's enough reps to get all
three.
Well,
that's the problem. This is the first time in recent history that they've had 5 healthy running backs this deep in the season. Usually they start out that way, and we're all like, well, what are they going to do with them all? They end up with two.
Then Fred Taylor's hurt.
Right.
This guy's hurt.
But now they've got 5 healthy guys.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how
Falk is like number 5 on the depth chart.
Yeah, Woodhead does spend a lot of time in the training room.
Yeah, I mean, he's still getting – it doesn't seem like he's getting the same separation that we saw from him last season.
Don't tell that to Fred. Don't tell that to Fred.
I know. Yeah, I remember that all too well. But you guys had, I think you had posed this question last show. I think it was like, what would you feel more comfortable going into the postseason? Like a lot of playmakers on defense or a lot of playmakers on offense? I think the answer to that is if you take in 9 games out of 10, if all you need is 17 points to win, do you believe Tom Brady can get you that many points even with, you know, subpar set of offensive players? And I think the answer is yes to that.
Okay, why would you only need 17 points?
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand the question.
I'm saying that if you know that you don't need to light it up to win, if you think if I can get 17 points, Tom Brady can get that for me no matter who he has, and that's good enough to win, I think that means you rather have the stars on defense than offense.
But how do you know you need 17?
I see what you're saying. You'd rather load up on defense than offense, basically, is the bottom line.
I wouldn't. And I know that the tradition says that defense beats offense, but I'm not. I think a good offense.
There's always exceptions, I mean, but doesn't Andy's stats that we talked about yesterday.
Those are Bert Breer stats, by the way. You keep saying that.
All right. Weren't the stats that we talked about yesterday prove that more often than not, good defense beats good offense?
Well, just remember the 06
season. No, I don't think it proves that.
But I
don't think it proves that.
I think so much of it has to do with matchups.
Yeah.
Well, how about this? It's better to have a good defense going in the playoffs than a good offense. better of the two on your team.
I'm not.
Think of it this way.
I'm not sure I would agree with that.
Okay. How far do you think Tom Brady goes with the Ravens?
Oh.
With the Ravens offense?
Yeah, with the Ravens offense.
He'd win a Super Bowl.
I think he'd win multiple Super Bowls.
Right. They have good weapons on offense. Joe Flacco's inconsistency prevents the Ravens from having a great offense. And I am the biggest.
Really their best player.
And I, absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. They have great weapons on offense. I think if Brady had those guys to work with, he'd be similar to the way he is here. He'd be able to succeed with that offense. And I love Joe Flacco, by the way. I'm one of the big Joe Flacco fans.
I don't buy many of their
his inconsistency kills that offense.
I think it's really Rice and Bolden. I mean, when Bolden was on
they have two very good pass catching tight ends in Dixon and Pitta. They have a young speedster receiver that the Patriots are dying for in Torrey Smith, who's a little inconsistent, admittedly, but he's making a big impact for them.
Yeah, that's why
I
don't buy.
And they have Bolden, and they have Rice, and they have a backup running back in Williams. That's a good offense, and their offensive line has been pretty good.
But the question is, if they had Tom Brady under the cap, would they be able to have Ed Reed and Suggs and Ray Lewis?
Absolutely.
Would they be able to fit everybody under the cap?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I still wish they would have gone after a player like Bolden.
I don't know.
I feel like
those guys are pretty high-paid players.
Yeah, again, but you're operating under the premise that you can't fit guys under the cap, and I've never seen a team in the last 10 years that has had that problem.
I see teams make cap moves all
the
time.
Not with their best players.
I know, but Paul, they have a limited amount of best players. You can't afford every best player.
You can. Dan is telling you right now. Everybody said that about the Jets. They retained all the guys they wanted to retain.
And they still tried to go after Osama.
Right.
And they probably could have got him.
They could. It wasn't a money thing. He went somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I think eventually it hurts you, whether it's with your frontline players or depth.
Now you're arguing a different thing.
What's cap.
You're arguing what the best way is to construct your team.
The Patriots have stunning depth right
now. Well, yeah, but at the end of the day, it ends up with wins or losses.
No,
so.
but you're arguing about it might not be the best thing to have all these stars making all this money on your cap. That I might agree with. But don't tell me you can't fit it under your cap, because you can fit anything you want under your cap.
Sure, but you have to sacrifice somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
But not Ed Reed and Ray Lewis is my point.
Somewhere. And
your 53rd guy. And maybe he's not making $1 million to cover kicks like he is in New England.
Maybe you can't afford to keep giving Phillip Adams game check.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I don't see this depth that the Patriots system creates. I see all these undrafted players. I see guys signed off the street. I see wide receivers playing DB. I don't see all this incredible depth. I see Tracy White forced into defensive action for the first time in a decade.
And I've been
saying this depth where all these stars are that are 45 through 53?
I think they got some depth along the defensive line.
I think they cut all the depth.
Yeah, I think it's so overblown that they have this great depth. They're paying a lot of guys that don't play here anymore. That's part of it. Tully Bantakane and James Sanders.
So then you're
Sanders
saying it's all Belichick.
It's all Belichick and Brady. It is.
So, yeah.
That's why I personally would argue defense, because if this is a hypothetical where I have Brady, then yes, I want playmakers on defense, because I already have the most important piece on offense, and he'll make all those other pieces better.
That's a great argument. I didn't really think about it that way. That's
I didn't
a great
know
argument.
If that was the hypothetical or not, or if we were considering Brady, or if this was a true hypothetical. But if I have Brady,
it's a hypothetical
defense.
You have Brady, but
okay,
you have
defense.
Basically no one else on offense.
Well, I will.
Well, then Andy makes
Brady
a great
will
point.
Make them better.
Brady's already done that. He's already shown me he can win Super Bowls with an average offense and very good defense. He's done that three times.
Offensive world, no matter who Brady rolls out, he can get you a couple touchdowns and a field goal in 60 minutes of football. So
yep.
in that
I don't have confidence that no matter how good your defense is, that you can say 17 is going to win today. I don't have confidence in today's NFL that no matter how good your defense is, I only need 17
today.
That's
what kind of confused me. Is
I don't think you can say 9 times out of 10, 17 is going to win. I don't care how good your
Certainly
defense
not
is.
9 times out of 10 against New Orleans and Green Bay and good teams.
That's my point.
You can do it nine times out of ten in September and October when it's against Indy.
You made the point about matchups. And that's to me what it all. Yeah, one day you can shut down the Rams, but if you have to play the Rams three times in the playoffs,
not tonight.
You ain't shutting them down three times.
Yeah, as long as I have Brady, I want a defense.
I don't care how good your defense is.
Give me Brady, some Jags, and a defense.
All right, Dan, that's a good good call. Got us talking.
Good
anyway.
Talker. Yeah.
Go tell Harriet she did a good job today.
But Andy's point about the depth that I wanted to kind of piggyback on is I think for 10 years we've been sort of led to believe that this team is devoid of stars. The Patriots, I'm talking about. And I think it's so undersold. This is a star-driven team. Very much so. Their stars play well, they win. And that's the way it's been throughout this success. And Brady's number one, but he's not alone. They have other guys that need to play well for them to win, like Welker and Gronk now. You know, Hernandez is working his way into that category.
Yeah, but the problem is none of those stars make any money.
It's not
all the
depth.
Money is being made by guys they thought were stars who weren't, who don't play here anymore.
My point that I'm agreeing with
you. Lee Bodden made money. Tully Bantakane made money. The Patriots, those guys are all stars, you're right.
But my
point
that I'm agreeing with you.
They're playing on rookie deals or low free agent deals.
It's not about a system, is my point that I'm agreeing with you. And this, it's like this notion that this is the way to do it. You have, you know, you're top to bottom, you spread out your salary. It works because you have stars that have played like stars, just like everybody else. Don't tell me that Tracy White is any better than Pat Angerer is in Indianapolis.
Did you add an extra R there?
Angerer.
Like
that's
that.
His name, right?
Angerer.
You know, he's a backup linebacker who's been forced to play for Indianapolis. He's not any better or worse than Tracy White or Jeff Tarpinian. It's not this system.
I think he might be better.
Who, Angerer?
Yeah.
No, well, but that's proving my point. It's not about the fact that their special teamers are making $800,000 to cover kicks because they deem that important. That they don't have any more depth than anybody else. They have Tom Brady, who makes everybody else around him better. Just like when Indy had Peyton Manning, they were fine with the way they set up their system. And without Peyton Manning, they weren't fine.
Hey, on that Bills missed kick, onside kick, have they come up with a final determination whether that was on purpose or a missed kick?
I told you what their explanation was.
Whose?
The kicker said he tried to
jack
it up and kick it as hard as he could, and missed it.
Okay.
I don't know if that's accurate. I mean, he might be, you know.
Why would you not say it was an onside kick?
Because they may have tried to onside kick and screwed it up.
Oh.
And maybe
it certainly didn't look like
maybe,
it.
Maybe, you know, Pete Carroll did that once on a fake punt. Do you remember? They said that Lee Johnson did it on his own or something, and I forget exactly what the situation was, but it was a game in Buffalo that he kind of bobbled the snap and he ran for a first down.
Yep.
And they tried to say that it was by design, and it wasn't.
Right.
Because they wanted to make themselves look better.
That's terrible. All right, let's go back to the phone.
I bet you didn't say that at the time.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Larry in Miami's on the line. Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Larry.
How much? How you doing?
Nothing, man. Going back to what I said last time, I believe, we need pass rush and everything else. I think it really comes down. We need a playmaker on the running game because if we limit those time, you know, when Brady has to throw, we have a 1,000-yard rusher, and, you know, a playmaker back there. That's going to help us a lot. Especially in the playoffs, I believe whoever has the better running game in the playoffs is going to win.
So you want to see Stephen Ridley?
Well, we need a playmaker. They need to, you know, stop teeing off because defenses are teeing off with Tom Brady. So, and the offensive line already looking shaky, you know, late in the season. And I believe that they need to get the ball, run the ball a little bit more and, you know, kill the time.
But
you know Brady's going to score.
No, but my only question, I mean, I personally have decided Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is not that guy. He's a nice, complimentary guy. And you're not getting Adrian Peterson in November. So if you're looking for that and you think you need that, to me, the guy has to be Ridley. He's your only option that could legitimately, by January, be one of those stories where, you know, he didn't play the first 8 weeks, but all of a sudden he came on and he's made this offense a different beast and blah, blah, blah. To me, that's your only option is Stephen Ridley.
Well, I think maybe a combination of Ridley and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, where you have that two-headed monster type thing.
Well, going, there's no monster if Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is involved. He's a nice player. I love him. God bless him. Does a great job. Doesn't fumble.
But you know what I mean. It's like a tandem, like a lot of teams do. Like, you know, for a while the Giants were doing it.
But you have like Arian Foster and Ben Tate. That's a two-headed monster.
Right. Yeah.
Those are two guys that are capable of making big plays.
Well, I think Ridley is. We think he might be.
That's what I just
said. Yeah, I don't think Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is.
No, but he's
Benny's my goal line back.
No, but what I'm saying is when you have a two-headed monster, both guys are dangerous, is Andy's point.
Benny's not dangerous. That's why if you think you need that, I think you need to get carries for Ridley and find out, is the guy we saw in Oakland legit, or was that an aberration? Can he do that with any regularity?
It is funny how Ridley
hasn't
done much lately.
They need to grow some nuts. Bill Belichick need to grow some nuts.
All right now.
in the organization? I believe so, because it's just getting crazy. We have a wide receiver that, you know, get off the line, you know, off the sidelines, and we got all these players. Well, what's the point of having them if you're not going to use them? Just grow some nuts. If you was wrong, you was wrong. If you was right, you was right.
Grow some nuts. I agree.
All right, Larry. Thanks. I don't think, you know, Belichick really has any problem with admitting mistakes.
He has
say
large
this.
Testicles.
We see it. That's the last thing you can say about Bill, is that he doesn't have any nuts.
Right. So
sometimes they're never mind.
Too big.
No,
I was gonna say, he can tie him in a. What's that song? Tie him in a knot. Throw him over his shoulder. They're nuts.
Taylor
are so big.
Price is a legitimate mystery. It is a mystery.
But you know, the last, you know, since that Oakland game, Ridley hasn't been a huge part of the offense, but he has had some chances and been thoroughly unimpressive since.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had 4 carries for 4 yards the other day. He had another game that he had 8 carries for like 7 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he's not getting any carries.
But so too have Green Ellis and Falk, and they've all had their crap-ass games, 1 yard a carry games.
Yes, but it seems like Ridley has had those games pretty much every game.
Okay,
since
then say
that
no.
Breakout.
That's fine if you believe no.
Yeah, but
then
see,
you're just going to have to win without a running game.
But if you look at when Ridley's
well,
been
you know,
in there,
you know how
you
I feel
say,
about the running.
Oh my
game.
God, he should have done better. There's really been nothing there. You know, I'm
we're back
not,
to this again.
I don't know, but I don't find myself going, "Oh, he ran terribly on that play." I don't
know, but
myself
maybe
doing
that. Maybe he's LeSean McCoy. Maybe he gets into a groove and he's cutting it back across the formation and he's going 40.
Right.
That's what LeSean McCoy does.
Yeah, but you only
maybe
do
Bill,
that with more carries.
But
you know
maybe
what I mean?
Bill sees
you,
what Andy and I have seen.
You may not be able to do that with just 4 tries in a game.
So is he worthy of the investment?
I think so.
Okay, that's Bill has to decide that. Bill and Bill O'Brien have to decide
that. Yeah,
I
do.
And Tom.
I don't want to make that sound like I'm pulling the plug on Stephen Ridley.
No.
I like Stephen
Ridley.
No,
but
I'm
this
saying,
at this point in this season, when you are 8-3, you're the number one seed, right? We're still the number
one
seed.
Number two, technically.
Oh, number two seed.
Well, if the playoffs ended today, that kind of nonsense. Yeah.
To which I answered Paul. He said, if the playoffs started today, I go, woohoo, season be over by Christmas. but at, there's a, you don't have to give up on him, but you say next year he might be that guy. But at this point in the season, we can't invest the time.
Right,
in the,
that's what I'm saying. There's 5 guys. What do you do?
You're running out of time. You're running out. You kind of are what you are, whatever.
No, I
but
hear that. Yeah.
I think there's arguments for both sides. Like this game, as we talked about earlier, you should have fun. You should score points. And if he's a guy you want to develop, this is a game. Get him some carries. Get him 10, 12 touches.
I would agree. This week, I think there's a chance to get 3 different guys.
But it also might not mean anything.
Carries.
If
right,
Oakland sucks on the run and Indy sucks on the run, it doesn't matter what they do
but
when you play Pittsburgh in January and then he has 1 carry for 1 yard.
I think you want to get him out there oiled up, though. You want to get him up there.
What are you, Tom Brady?
Get him into the – no, not looped up. You want to get him into the flow a little
same,
bit.
Same, same.
But
Esther maybe –
McLaughlin died?
Listen, maybe – wow.
He did. Wow.
Lubricants.
Maybe Bill sees the same thing that, you know, the one criticism that Andy and I have had about Ridley is he tends to turn his back a lot on contact, especially. It's not so much a spin move as it is a turning the back. And maybe Bill has seen that. And maybe that's one of the things, and, you know, that's kind of holding him back a little bit.
You
maybe
can't
they don't
find
wanna
out if he won't do that
well,
unless he plays
think,
to not do it.
That's why I think you can get him carries in a game like this, even though it's not saying, well, he's our guy. You're not going to make that determination.
And I think for
but get him carries and get him out of
that. Chance to get more reps, too. He's shown some good speed
I just
around the edge there.
I personally don't believe he's the guy that Larry was just talking about.
Oh, no.
Your running game
but
that makes
that
defense.
Second guy?
Yeah, but that
he's
I develop next
guy.
Year.
He's,
I'm talking
he's
about
going
to win
be the
in January.
Third down back next year. I'm
you may
that.
Have Ridley and Vereen as your lead guys next year. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm not talking about next year. I'm talking about January.
Okay. You're going to talk about January.
Tim
Why
does he always have to mock me?
And I also, I'm not a big believer in the team with the best running game wins in the playoffs either. I think the team
no,
with the best,
either.
I think the team with the best passing
but
game
I think you have to
playoffs.
Have a running game. I don't think they're going to win by having 20
it
carries
needs,
for 40 yards.
It needs to be better than it was on Sunday. That's for sure.
Tim in Baltimore.
You know, like James Starks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. I have a question. He had one good game in his career, and he's this guy.
Or led the NFL in postseason rushing.
Yeah.
Or like Sean Green 3 years ago, whatever year it was. You can have a guy. You need something. I don't think you can get by with just Woodhead with his 22 yards and Green Ellis with his 18. I don't think you're going to go deep in January like that.
Tim in Baltimore, I have a question regarding Dan Marino's single-season passing record. Brady and Breeze are both on pace to break the record this year, but nobody seems to be playing it up like the race between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. Why do you think the public and media don't seem to be interested?
Because no football numbers are seen in the same
light.
It's
not. They don't have the magical numbers attached to them like baseball did. But I also think Rodgers is on pace for that. And I think that's part of it, too, is that it's
a different era.
It's
you got three guys.
It's not all that surprise. You know, it's
every year somebody starts out on pace to
break. It's kind of the way it is.
Your guy was going to break it. Wasn't he Schaub at one point? 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
Oh, a couple years ago, yeah. But I just think it's one of those deals that this is the way the game is played now, and I think people are looking at the numbers as being inflated.
Yeah, but also no one cares about the numbers.
But when he gets there, people will make a big deal out of it. When Brady when Brady breaks it and Breeze break, they'll get excited.
Plus,
about
the football writers don't wax poetic like the old baseball writers.
Like, what's the number?
Yeah, it's like 5,032 or something.
84.
Like that.
It's 84. Yeah, but and the only reason why Andy and I know that, well, never mind.
Yeah, we don't need to get into that.
It's not a number like, you know, 61 home runs. You know, it's not 56 game hitting streak. There are numbers in baseball that just are like ingrained in everybody's memory.
Right.
Football numbers aren't like
5,084.
5,084.
It's also not a wow. A home run is a wow. Even Moss's touchdowns are a wow. It's an instantaneous realization that this guy just made a play that's putting him closer to greatness. If a guy throws for 300 and then 400 and then 290, it's this slow progression.
Each home run has to travel a certain distance
and you can
leave
see
the
it,
yard.
And it's cool.
You can have a cumulative effect of a lot of 4 yard dump offs.
Chicks dig the lawn ball.
Yeah, right.
Just like Moss. Yeah. That season was great. That wouldn't have been as much fun
that's
if
why
all his touchdowns were 4 yard touchdowns.
Who weren't old enough to remember Joe Namath were missing something because he did it in a time when no one else was doing it and was throwing it down the field.
Like Dale Arnold, who said he's the most overrated player in the Pro Football
Hall. Yeah,
that's
ridiculous.
He threw for over 4,000 yards in an era in which
threw for
2,000 was a lot.
Yeah.
Don't tell me. I mean, you should, because I don't remember anything.
And for a lot of his career, did it with two bad knees.
ESPN jumping on our, is it time to trade Peyton Manning?
Nice.
Boat.
Okay.
Oh, hell no.
You know, I was thinking about this. Imagine. Can you just imagine if the Colts got the first pick, drafted Luck, he refused to play there, and somehow Elway did a deal, and Luck went to Denver.
That'd be good.
Wouldn't that be something?
That would be good.
But why would he go to Denver to be a backup?
Because John Elway hates Tim Tebow.
Waka waka!
We all know that John Elway hates Tim Tebow, right?
You know what I should have used against you yesterday? A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. That would have been a good cliche to throw out there.
He just kept yelling at me anyway.
Let's see, TG and NJ.
I told him he was high in the
happy
point
free
guard
pizza for the media day. Rewatch the Eagles game. Is it me or was there a lot of holding by the Eagles on the Pats defensive line that went unnoticed? There has been every game, believe me. I know there is holding on every play, but it just seemed to me the officials were missing some of the more obvious ones. Maybe Logan Mankin penalties are due to the new location of the official behind the O-line.
That's what he says.
Are we to assume the following teams are done? And we'll be mailing it in the rest of the season, the Jaguars, Vikings, and Rams.
Yes.
And I'm not going to put the Colts on the list. I think they will stay competitive to try to not go winless. I think their best chance to finally win a game will be in Week 17 against the Jaguars. If the Patriots get a comfortable lead this weekend, will we see more of players like Hoyer, Ridley, Vereen, Underwood, and
Price.
Possibly maybe Taylor Price?
Hoyer didn't throw last week, right? Even though he was in
no.
for a long time?
He did not throw.
He should get to throw. How are you going to build his value if he doesn't throw?
Oh, because then we'll be accused of running it up.
Except no one will accuse you of that except you.
You don't get accused of running it up when you use your backup quarterback, Fred.
Who's a weak arm throw out of Michigan State.
Anyway, here you go. Last five games. At New England, at Baltimore, home against Tennessee, home against Houston, at Jacksonville.
Oh, yeah.
Do the Colts win?
No.
I think home against Tennessee they got a shot.
Well, they got a shot.
And they got a shot in Houston, depending on how badly that quarterback situation unfolds.
Right. Jake Delhomme.
Now, I agree with the emailer. Jacksonville's the worst team that they play. I don't see them winning on the road against New England or Baltimore. Although the way Baltimore has played this year against the bad teams, who knows? Yeah. Any of those last three games, I would say they have a shot. I think they're going to go 0-16.
Me too.
And I think the Packers are going to go 16-0.
And they'll draft Luck. It'd be great.
Janice is very concerned about something she's seen on the sidelines from Tom Brady.
She says
that he's been sniffing white powder on the game before on the sideline.
Can you
ask the team physician on the radio and ask him about Tom doing this Thomas stated he learned it from another player. Was it Troy Brown?
Michael Irvin. Dexter Manley?
It will clear his mind or something to improve his performance on the field. It does not sound right to me. She's wondering what it is. She thinks chemicals are not good for the brain. I remember after the Jets playoff game last year, a comment about Tom looked confused after a play or he wasn't himself. So what good did the white powder do for him in that game? Now, all this talk about Tom's...
Can we ixnay on the white powder? I'm assuming this is like ammonia tablets something.
Tom's... I've never seen the white... He's been recently putting it in a cup. He fills the cup with those little tabs and then...
I've
but
seen
I don't
that.
Think I think it's ammonia tablets. Yeah.
A lot of
whatever.
The players when you go
smelling
on the sideline,
right?
You see broken
they little tablets. Yeah. But I don't think there's white powder in them.
Anyway, she thinks. Could
That's
you guys
cocaine.
Please suggest to Tom to start drinking freshly juiced vegetables such as kale, collard greens, and other highly potent leafy green juices every day instead of this mysterious white powder?
What does that
I'm
do
sure
for
his
you?
Performance and treatment of other players
what
will greatly improve.
Like you're gonna try it.
His treatment of
kale.
Other players.
Kale gives me the worst gas ever. Kale and cabbage are woo.
Well, cabbage, yeah, that's known for.
Have you ever had kale soup?
No.
Because it's not only the kale, but there's also like a spicy sausage in there. Literally within 10 minutes, I am just, atrocious. That sounded really gay.
Oh.
It's like Papagino's pizza.
Let's see.
Wait, so I just want to make sure I haven't missed anything. Has anyone actually seen white powder being sniffed?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I just automatically
some people sniff like Percocets and stuff too, you know. They'll just take it and it gets into your system.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. I've been to people who potty that way.
Matt in Texas is having a hard time.
No, but it gets you instantly, gives you the same effect, but instantly.
Buzzed.
Matt in Texas is having a hard time. He says his math teacher is really boring. Please pull a Jake Steele story and save me from this agony.
Is she hot?
I got a little bit of a Jake Steele story for you. Did you hear about the high school English teacher?
Yeah, it was him. I told him about it this morning.
Yeah.
Gay porn. Now, do you have a problem
stars
with
stars in gay porn. Yeah, I don't think that's what I want my child to be taught
by. I agree.
By.
And my initial reaction is I have a problem with it. But then as I really like think about it, I'm like, well, you know, he's a teacher. He's got an off season. He's got a side job. It's not illegal.
Rex Ryan has refused to answer uncomfortable questions about videos posted on Deadspin.com that suggest he and his wife are linked to foot fetish porn.
Okay. Jim writes in, I'm officially obsessed with why Jared Page is not here.
Because he signed somewhere else yesterday.
You responded to my prior email about this, and the consensus was that it would make total sense that he would be picked up, and no one could figure out why he wasn't. So now we have cut another defensive back and have been reduced to having Edelman play defensive back, yet Page is not a better option.
But Page is now off the board. He went to, I believe, Minnesota.
Yeah, he didn't even clear waivers, right?
No, he did clear
waivers.
Oh, he was on the street for over a week, maybe two.
A couple of weeks.
Okay.
I agree with the emailer. It doesn't make any sense to me. I asked about it, and even the person I asked about it, who kind of knows about some of these things, was somewhat surprised by it. I was going to say perplexed, and I ended up
Surplexed?
Going with,
suplexed.
Ended up going with surprised.
What was the word he used earlier that I didn't know?
Erudite?
Erudite?
Yeah, I don't know that word. Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
He swallowed a thesaurus before the show, Freddie.
And he just swallowed Eric.
Oh. That's over the line, Fred.
That's ridiculous.
It is. It's typical indie, though.
Yeah, but that shows you what's on his mind.
Right.
You know?
Gay porn.
How can it not be on my mind? I click on the news, and it's Bernie Fine at Syracuse. It's a gay teacher in the crew coach at Mystic Valley High School or something.
Yeah, it's a charter school.
You make fun of... Oh, a guy riding a plane watching kiddie porn. It's
what?
Everywhere. Yeah, a guy got arrested on a plane from Utah to Boston because a passenger... I'm not buying the whole story because the guy was on Fox 25 crying. I still see the images in my mind.
Oh, God.
But watching kiddie
porn
and stuff.
Yeah, why'd you look so long?
But, I mean, it's everywhere, Fred. Even you said you wouldn't take your kids to camp because everybody's diddling.
Right.
So don't pretend it's just me. It's everywhere. We're bombarded with it in this culture.
Yeah, you know,
I have a way
of compartmentalizing it. You don't.
Right, and that may be true.
You know?
But the problem is, you're bombarded by it.
Yeah, but how does that make you say that Fred swallowed Eric?
I feel like my... What?
That's what you said.
Well, because Eric's been doing the word of the day on his Twitter account, so he's kind of a human thesaurus. Get your mind out of the gutter.
What do you think about this, him imparting this type of knowledge onto the public?
It's as pompous and arrogant as his writing.
But it started when he started losing, right? He started losing,
yeah,
and then instead of becoming a person who plays the game, he's now one who teaches the game.
The difference is he thinks that people follow him for
like
his vocabulary.
They say, those who can...
Can't do...
Teach.
Teach.
Teach, and those who can't teach, teach Jim. Right? I'll tell that one to Kathleen Whiteside.
Or those who can't.
Oh, shut the
come back to
good Paul.
To the same
Paul.
Job you have.
Excellent.
Hey, my career's been over for years. You could have been somebody.
I hate you guys.
Bob writes in, I love the show. It makes my commute tolerable. I love the insight and chemistry among the panel. Recently, however, the show and most notably Andy have been driving me crazy. The obsession with Taylor Price is maddening and laughable.
Wait a minute. That's all of Patriots Nation.
He appears to have decent speed and decent hands, but so does every single receiver on an NFL roster.
Ixnay on the itnay. He's got better hands than Tiquan Underwood.
Made a few plays in the preseason, but so did Underwood.
No, he didn't. Dane That's
Fletcher.
Ridiculous.
And I don't hear Andy crying for them to get on the field and declaring an injustice.
I just can't allow people to spew stupidity.
He's so mad.
Did you watch the preseason? Because Tiquan Underwood was here for one game, and he caught half the ball thrown to him, and he did volleyball set passes on the other ones thrown to him. He has terrible hands. And Taylor Price doesn't have good speed. He has elite speed. He's a 4-4 guy. Maybe he doesn't show it all the time. Maybe he hasn't been the chance to show it. He's got elite speed, very good hands, and run good routes. Oh, by the way, not just me. Did you ever hear of a guy named Bill Parcells? He used to coach here. He's a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He was a finalist for the Patriots Hall of Fame. I think he liked Taylor Price, too, and said he did a lot of scouting on him. Be a great cold-weather playoff receiver for some team. Was going to make a lot of plays. And by the way, am I the only one? Or did every media member tweet and write this week about Taylor Price?
A lot of people talking about this. We're getting a lot of emails. And by the way, Taylor Price is as fast from the locker room to the sideline next to Bill,
right,
as anybody I've ever seen.
A vast majority of Tuesday's program was spent discussing conspiracy theories as to why Taylor effing Price isn't getting enough time in the field. Maybe Andy also wonders if Belichick hates Ross Ventrone, or maybe Matt Patricia doesn't like him, and that's why he's not playing more.
That's ridiculous. One guy was a third-round pick who had back-to-back 50-catch seasons on an offense that barely throws the ball in college. The other guy was a walk-on in a low-level CAA football at Villanova.
The Taylor Price uproar reminds me of the cries from Michael Bishop back in the day. Receivers like Price are a dime a dozen, and in my opinion, most of the program shouldn't be spent discussing theories.
Then why'd they draft him in the third round?
He is being buried.
He's a dime a dozen.
Sorry for the negative email. I really do love the program, and keep up the priceless banter.
That's so different. Drew Bledsoe was an established quarterback, and people were calling for the backup. We do not have an established receiver, and Tiquan Underwood is playing. So there's no comparison there. As your friend Mr. Kane would say, apples and oranges. Ridiculous.
Thanks for the hand grenade. The most interesting.
I just really like when Andy goes on a Paul-like rant.
Well, when you get a dumb email, you got to respond in turn,
but
dumbly.
But the anger and venom you spews.
The most interesting Patriots fan in the world, James Pettigrew, writes a couple of good questions. I look at the Patriots at C2 max contracts. And C2 max contracts, not including Brady, Vince Wilfork, and Logan Mankins. If you had to choose two positions other than quarterback to spend a max contract, what would they be? Secondly, what positions have the biggest difference between elite and serviceable? Am I wrong to think the difference between an elite guard and a serviceable guard is not as impactful as an elite pass rusher cornerback versus a serviceable one? I think you're right there.
I agree.
My argument all along on why I wouldn't have re-signed Vince Wilfork. I think he's a great nose tackle. I'm not sure he's worth the money, whereas I think Julius Peppers types can change games. I think there's a drop-off there.
And looking ahead, I don't know how I would do it in terms of position if I had like a clean slate, but specifically with the Patriots' talent, you're going to have to look at Rob Gronkowski, and I think he's going to get an elite contract.
The difference is elite tight end is affordable. It's like $35 million with like $19 million up front,
but
affordable.
What I'm talking about is the market setting kind of deal that I think he's going to warrant. I know he's going to warrant it. I think he that's been a contract that a lot of times they've been reluctant to give.
I think they'll give it to him because I don't think they're reluctant when they think he's elite, and I think they think he is elite, and I think they like pretty much the whole package except for maybe some of the immaturity. But if that plays itself out, I think they might give it to him. I would say quarterback and cornerback are the two where I think it's a dramatic drop-off. Darrell Revis and name one or two others down to Arrington.
I would also agree with James's edge pass rusher. Those are the dynamic players that you can't just find anywhere.
Warren in the UK, Brady said on EEI that he got the white powder from Stallworth in 2007
and it helps him focus and wakes up the body.
But is it some kind of like, I'm wondering if it has to do with the ammonia tablet.
He says it's now something he uses regularly and a ritual before games.
All right.
I think it's smelling salts or something similar.
Yeah, that's what I didn't know. I thought it was ammonia, but tabs. I thought they were liquid tabs that created like a vapor.
I don't know anything about it, but I know
I
that
got
it's
it from Ty Law's cousin.
Yeah, I know it's not, you know, quote unquote white powder, as in the yayo.
Or it could be anthrax, but he's still around, so I guess it's not anthrax.
Yeah, it's not anthrax.
It's the cream, it's the clear, it's the powder.
Mark in Connecticut is a long-time
first-time. Thank you for that update, by the way.
Got it from Valco.
Long-time first-time Mark in Connecticut. With all the discussion about how we can improve the team, I have a small game to help clarify our collective thoughts.
Yes.
Question one.
How about our throats?
Imagine, if you will, that Bill could take two players out of the entire NFL roster. Which two would you pick up?
Two players from the entire NFL.
Is this for short term or long term?
Right now.
DeMarcus Ware.
DeMarcus Ware. And
you would take him over the kid from
Darrell Revis.
Tom Bali.
No, the kid from Denver that's tearing it up right now.
Von Miller. Yeah, I would take Ware. He's a far better player, and I think he's
much more well-rounded.
Well, I take
Darrell,
better suited.
Darrell Revis would be my number one.
And Darrell Revis. Those two guys. Now you have what Dan said earlier. You have that star-studded defense where you're loading up on defense, and you already have Brady with Welker and Gronk.
I think Revis is done. He's got to face Stevie Johnson twice a year.
But it's very tempting to say Calvin Johnson. You know, because imagine what he could do.
Or Andre Johnson, or A.J. Green.
Fitzgerald.
Yeah. You know, that's
that's the glamour thing.
I already feel like you have that side okay. I think you're good enough on offense.
Yeah.
I don't think you're good enough on defense. That's why I would load up on that, like Dan said.
Question two, which two do you think Bill would take?
DeMarcus
Ware.
DeMarcus Ware
would be one that would be very high on the list.
Yeah. I don't know, Ed Reed.
Yeah.
Because he freaking loves him.
Well, he already took Ocho Cinco.
Ed Reed, because, you know, Ed Reed had to take a restraining order out against him.
And lastly, which two would Brady take? Well, then now we're talking about
Calvin Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald. Right.
Would he really, though?
My guess is he wouldn't mind Adrian Peterson.
But you think he would just think offense, or would he say, we're way better if I have a good defense? Like, would he use it really cerebrally, or to be like, this would be freaking fun if I had those two or whatever?
I think the latter.
And Mark thinks Mark would take Allen and Megatron.
Jared Allen?
I guess so. Jared Allen from the Vikings?
Yeah. I mean, that's. Yeah. I think DeMarcus Ware is a better player. But
better all-around player, I think. Robert Quinn, maybe?
Quinny.
I haven't heard much from him lately. Is he still playing?
That's just
he's stuck on two sacks.
I can't believe how bad that
and
team
TG
is.
TG and NJ, does Andy like anybody on the team?
Yes.
Taylor Price is done. Benny's not the guy. Ridley hasn't done anything. Branch disappears.
Quinn has
Logan
five
is
sacks,
injured.
The
hell, the entire O-line has a bad back. Edelman can't play any of the positions well enough. Seems the only guy he has anything positive to say about is Gronk. Fred, please, That's we true. Need a new That's show true. On PFW with Andy and Pete Shepard together. The opposite sides of the spectrum collide. Could be good radio.
Wait a minute. Am I now being accused of, like, being negative towards Taylor Price?
No.
I've been blowing him since the day he arrived in New England.
You don't have to.
I've been promoting him as a playmaker that they're not using. How am I negative about him? The only thing I'm negative about is...
You've given up on him.
Well, how could I not?
Kind of like how I've given up on Ocho Cinco.
But
it's
not
my radar.
But I think that when you have a guy come in off the street and play over him, a week after one of the few reps that the guy gets on offense, he just has a mindless illegal shift penalty that looks like he's never been on the field before. I think it's time to cut ties.
I still want to see him catch.
Physically, I haven't changed my opinion.
Right.
But obviously there's something mental that we don't know about that's preventing him from
And Logan
being on
Mankins
the field.
Is one of my favorite players ever on the team, and I think I just don't think he suddenly got average. I don't think he suddenly got rich and fat and happy.
It's amazing they're 8-3.
Top five player all time for me, Logan Mankins.
I love him. I just am concerned out of that love that he has an injury, and that's why he's not performing well.
Andy and Paula corrects us, Tony. It is ammonia. Brady talked about it on EEI a week or two ago. So it's ammonia.
Right.
I just didn't know that could be in a white powder form. I never heard of that.
Pretty sure any liquid can be
Joe
dried down
Indy
to a
has,
powder, right?
Has figured out the mystery.
Solid, a liquid, and a gas? And the three forms of things?
You would know about the gas.
Joe and Indy says
sometimes
he's
it's the solid or a liquid.
Joe and Indy says he's figured out the mystery of Taylor Price.
Taylor Price.
Taylor Price has been dead for 2 months. It's like Weekend at Bernie's. He's been animated via wires by Ernie Adams. It's the only possible answer.
Weekend at Ernie's.
There you go. Okay.
Don't shake your flipping head at us.
That was close.
I know. He hasn't earned the right to shake his head at us.
John in North Carolina, says, South Carolina, says, Andy, get off Price. Hey, guys, in Felga, the only reason Andy cares if Price is on the field is because it makes him look wrong when he doesn't play.
No,
Andy is making the same argument that Felga is making about Tebow, which is for some reason the people who are judged by whether or not a player succeeds don't like him or don't want him to succeed.
No. It's actually the exact opposite, because Tebow plays despite lacking any physical tools, whereas Taylor Price seems to have all the physical tools and for some reason doesn't play.
Why is Price not on the field? Because he is not living up to his potential. To continue the thought, he is worse at living up to his potential than Ocho. Maybe he will be good, but right now he stinks. Why the heck should we cut him? Who knows? Maybe he starts to live up to his talent.
Oh, so year four
jump. If we could get another player, then yes, cut him right now. But all we would add is crap. Might as well hold on to him with the hopes he get better. Andy saying, I thought that was a team. That is just Felger-esque crap. He doesn't even believe his own crap. And while I'm at it, Jeff, I like what you say, but let's try to say it in 15 minutes or less. This is PFW in progress, not PFW and Jeff droning on about Vegas in progress. Keep up the good work, and Andy, do not go to the Felger side.
I don't understand how I'm being Felger-like.
I really don't understand that either.
I don't think there's any question about it.
Except I'm being somewhat repetitive, I'll admit that, on Taylor Price. And that's what Felger does. You listen to Monday's show, you can tell exactly what you're going to hear on Friday. It's the same show, 5 days.
Except for on Wednesdays. That's the time to listen.
Then there's two fat guys on the screen.
Between 4 and 5.
Tyler from Georgia, an attempt to get us away from conversations about diddling, I just wanted to let you guys know I finally broke down the day before yesterday and subscribed to the paper. That brings us to the podcast. I'm looking forward to receiving my first issue and may just have to mail it back once I have read it for some PFW autographs.
We'll be happy to autograph it, but I do want to remind people, if you're considering a subscription and you may be getting an iPad for Christmas or giving an iPad, it's going to be a family iPad, you might want to consider the online digital version, the Patriots Daily Football Daily app, correct, Fred?
The iPad app, yes.
Because that is the wave of the future. You can get it sooner. No delivery delays.
You know, we should give out the 1-800 number, 1-800-494-PATS, if you want to subscribe to the newspaper.
And if you want the iPad app, go to iTunes Store and get it now.
Right, download it.
It's the best $20 you'll ever spend.
It really is. And we just added a new feature.
Really?
Where you can save the PDF versions of the back issues to iBooks.
Oh.
So you can save it to iBooks and read it offline. You don't have to be connected to the internet.
That's nice. It puts it on the little bookshelf?
Right.
Nice. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
With all our covers, will be lined
That's
up on
right.
the bookshelf.
All the covers.
The good ones and the bad ones.
That's really cool. And we added another feature. You can now share articles.
The best
with
will be right there for everybody to see. The best.
The best. Enough said.
Enough said. Bad kitty.
Bats versus Pirates in a baseball versus NFL competition.
Pats, scratch, Pats, backs.
What day is the draft again?
Paul wants to know, would you keep Norv Turner in San Diego? I would, because it's good for the Patriots. I don't know if A.J. Smith
when
would.
I heard yesterday when I was driving in that an NFL coach had been fired, obviously it turned out to be Del Rio, I immediately thought of Norv Turner. I thought that was it for him.
And it will be.
Losing at home to Tebow, missing field goals, having your field goal kicker take a leak on the sideline. I thought that was it for North Carolina.
I have no problem.
It's all hell's breaking loose on
I've seen
side
guys. I've seen your guy piss on the sideline.
I think there's a way to do it without
Drew
being
Bledsoe.
Like that.
Your boy didn't even kneel down. He stood up directly with two guys around him, and he just pissed.
Did you see this one?
Yes.
He kneeled down.
He at least tried to hide by getting behind the water table. Your guy literally just stood there with two guys with towels pissing on the ground.
On the ground?
Where else
Not in
piss?
A bucket?
No, he was just pissing on the ground.
Oh, that's gross.
Yeah, the old Foxborough Stadium.
You'd rather him pee in a bucket?
Yeah.
And then what do you do with the bucket?
You got to walk around that. That's
on
the sideline.
This stadium, after the Country Music Fest, you know how much piss is on that?
Nobody's peeing.
Yes, I've been told many people just stand there and piss. Girls just open their skirt up and
what?
Piss.
Oh, my God.
On the
Fred,
field?
Yes, on the flat chairs.
I cannot believe that you wouldn't think that goes on the field.
Terrible.
Are you being serious right now? Or are you
I think
just
he
kidding?
Is.
I don't think that that's
There's a lot of urine. Yes, it is. During that Country Music Fest, there's a lot of urination on that field. Good one this year, too. They added Tim McGraw to Kenny Chesney.
You like that?
Yeah, not enough to go, but I like it.
Donald writes, and I think the Pats can get more out of the games if Belichick or some moneyed fan were to offer bounties to any player scoring a touchdown against the Patriots. Something like this. $1,000 per first quarter TD, $1,000 per second quarter TD, $500 per third quarter TD, and $100 in the fourth. The money won't matter much to the opposing players, but the props for bagging the bounty would be a great motivator to players who may have lost some motivation playing on a team not improving week to week.
Sounds like
so we
James.
Pay other players to score on us.
What?
That's what he's saying, right?
Oh, I thought he was paying our players.
Oh, maybe. What if he paid other players to try to have them keep them motivated? No? Okay. Never mind.
What?
I kind of lost train of thought
what?
In the middle of that one.
Well, you know, I guess you play your own players.
I guess.
I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Let's see. Warren says maybe they don't want to Taylor Price. Maybe they don't want to cut him right now because he may make it to a playoff type team, and they know Price could be good elsewhere. Wait till the end of the season, then cut him if he isn't getting it. Imagine Price with that speed on the Jets, Houston, etc.
But if he stinks, how's he going to help somebody else?
You stink. Where's the spray? Oh my God.
No, if they think he's terrible and he can't learn an offense.
That's about
Sorry,
to swear.
I don't.
Can we talk about football? Can you
stay professional? It's hard when I'm like enveloped in this fog. I mean, it's staining my shirt.
Paul doesn't even react.
I can't smell it.
See? It's not that bad.
Oh, good God.
Can we get back to the email, though?
No, I can't right now.
He's embarrassed. He just wants to move on.
I'm not embarrassed. He's wafting it back.
He'd rather spray grease all over himself than smell Andy's ass.
If Price stinks that
Thank
bad.
You.
How is he going to beat you with the Jets?
Keep that out here, will you? Thank you.
Now it's going to be orange creamsicle
spray. What's this question?
If he's that bad, why would you fear him? It's like they knew Bledsoe sucked, so
right.
they traded him to the Bills.
Right, exactly.
If you know Price sucks, let him go play for the Jets. He sucks.
Well, maybe there's some other reason. It's not that his ability.
What?
It's the mental thing that they can't get through to him.
But again, if that's the issue, let him go, because he sure as hell won't learn the Jets offense in time to hurt you.
Well, I don't know. William Barry, Paul's favorite emailer, writes in.
Emailer of the week last week, theautotrader.com, emailer of the week.
Oh, right. Really?
Yes. Congratulations to William Barry.
And I'm hearing that he may want to buy us lunch.
What was the email that he wrote in that
no
was
one.
So
He just eviscerated me for about three paragraphs, so I said.
That's a random drawing, right?
Right. So okay. I just said, all right, that's the emailer of the week.
William says, guys and Andy, this is long and only food for thought. It's not that long. It's a hypothetical with something for everyone to object to, and that includes me. It's about Tim Tebow. Ready?
Oh,
it's a Tebow and God hypothesis. Assume you are a God. For Fred, think Yoda, but different. Now, assume that you want to make Americans believe. It isn't clear believe in what, but believe is enough. Okay. Assume you can't spread believe yourself because of free will and crap like that. So you get a prophet. A preacher shouting believe gets ignored. A politician shouting believe never gets trusted. A rock star shouting believe is put in the Christian rock slum. A young actor shouting believe never gets a TV show on one of Satan's networks. A QB in the most popular sport shouting believe gets attention. You tried this with Kurt Warner, but he was good. People never assumed your supernatural powers or force, Fred. So get a passing challenge QB so there is no doubt. I'm not saying Tebow is a prophet, but it fits from God's perspective. God choosing the Broncos is not a good thing for Denver fans. Don't believe me? Ask the Jews about the history of God's chosen people. Okay.
His email on Sunday
was
better. Much better than that. And he was just taking me apart for
It does make sense, because the only way they'll win with an albatross of a quarterback like Tebow is if it's divine intervention, if it's a miracle. So if they win the Super Bowl, it's clear that God is on Tebow's side. Right?
I guess so, yeah.
So I agree with that. That would be a miracle. That would be like, what did they do, split the Red Sea or move some mountains
right.
or something? That
right.
would be similar.
They parted the Red Sea, Moses
yeah.
did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is Eric coming today?
Where's your God now, Moses? Remember that? What's his the guy's name that played that part?
Is this the Firebush movie?
This is the Charlton Heston movie.
Yeah, the Firebush. God was the bush
well,
that was on fire?
That's the story. It's not just in the movie.
God's sake.
that was funny, for God's sake.
3 hours ago, we got the Scrabble word of the day from Eric.
Oh, good.
What is it?
Fay?
F-A-Y?
Yes.
Rhymes with gay?
F-E-Y, but it's pronounced Fay because he puts long A sound. It's an adjective. Fated to die. Marked by foreboding sense of death. Calamity.
Why is he doing this?
Why don't you ask him? He's your boss. And it's
my boss?
I mean, you're his boss, and it's not like he's doing it from a personal account. It's PFW Eric. He's doing it with your
And then
paper.
He's, like, openly asking for more followers. I'm like, take me off that. You have Scrabble Word of the Day, and then you're saying that we're looking for more. I'm not looking for those kinds of followers.
And at least me, I don't drag the paper down. It's Jumbo Heart.
Isn't he supposed to be coming in with the
practice update? Yeah. Yes. He's probably too busy sending out the Scrabble Word of the Day.
Let's see. John writes in, good afternoon, guys. Long-time listener, first-time emailer. I'm
Hello.
John in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
We got a lot of Johns on this show, too.
Yeah. We might get arrested. Being a native of Patriots Nation, born and raised in Lynn, I've been living in Green Bay for the last 11 years. Your program keeps me connected to home and the Patriots. Keep up the excellent job. I proudly wear my Patriots apparel around Cheesehead Nation without peril so far. That's because they're nice people. Be safe and well, gentlemen. And that's all he wanted to say.
Why, thank you.
Thank you.
I thought maybe he was going to chime in on why no one hates the Packers.
James Pettigrew writes back in, please Fay Eric.
What did that mean again?
Calamity. Death. Foreboding.
I agree. Did you know that there's a website for James's little charity?
Really?
And it's a funny one. I forgot exactly.
Oh, for the animal rescue?
It's like saveanass.com or something.
Did you hear about this dog? I saw it on the internets yesterday. Over in either it was Afghanistan or Iraq, this guy soldier who was about to die, he saved this puppy, and he asked that the puppy be sent home to his family, because he wasn't going to make it.
Right.
So they did that.
There he is.
So the puppy was running around in the backyard, and they took a picture, and they claim no Photoshop. There's this beam of light that came down and shone on the dog like a halo.
That makes me believe a lot more than Tim Tebow.
Well, it makes you believe that Tim Tebow could be right.
No, I already think there's a God. I just don't think it's Tim Tebow. And I don't think God likes Tim Tebow because he's a pompous ace.
Eric, Stephen Bell has a word of the day for you.
Okay.
Pretentious. Attempting to impress by affecting greater importance, talent, culture than is actually possessed.
Steve can go F himself.
I'm proud of you. That was the proper response to that, Eric.
Screw you, bitch.
Eric is here.
Yeah, late practice today. Sorry, guys, for the
it's okay.
dilatory
it's,
nature
you made
of
it
my
under the
arrival.
Wire. Yeah.
That was for Steve.
Douchebaggery nature
the punk-ass
of
bitch.
Your arrival. So where's the update? So, what do you got?
Fletcher. Spikes.
Whoa.
Back at a walkthrough.
Okay,
practice.
So it was a walkthrough today.
Walkthrough. So everybody was there except, though, noteworthy, Sebastian Vollmer, who we saw limping off the field. I think it was in the fourth quarter, right? With the right foot problem against the Eagles. So
he
was
playing the second half.
Oh, maybe it was maybe you're right. It was the end of the first half. You're right, Paul. I'm sorry. A third week in a row now that they've done a walkthrough. And, obviously last week because they had Monday Night Football, but a little strange that, Colts week. Bill's saying the records don't matter.
Maybe
but
it's because it's Colts week.
They start off with a walkthrough. I don't know. I don't know about that. But anyway. Vollmer,
plus, they are banged up. A lot of injuries.
Yeah, they are a little bit. But Vollmer was the only player not at the walkthrough. And Fletcher and Spikes returned. Fletcher had a jersey on, like all the other players, and we didn't see any sort of cast or any sort of medical device or anything. Looked like it. Spikes had one of the long jackets on, though, so it was hard to tell whether or not he actually was in a jersey and was going to participate at all in the walkthrough, but he was out there.
Connelly, did he have a knee brace?
Connelly was
on?
Out there. Again, too hard to tell because they were like dressed in layers, so it was a little difficult.
Last I'd heard, he had the knee immobilized.
Oh, really?
You would have noticed that.
Yeah, he was just standing around talking to Branch.
But it would have been
on the sideline, so he wasn't moving.
But you would have noticed. He must not have had it immobilized.
That's pretty much your update, though. That's pretty big news, though. I mean, we'll see tomorrow whether or not Spikes and Fletcher actually, get the pads on or do anything. But
maybe Fletcher. I don't think Spikes.
But all the other players who were injured or on the list or anything were all out there.
How'd Taylor Price's hamstring look? Couldn't play.
Yeah, don't know. You're still Ocho. You're still feeling passionate about that, huh?
How could I not?
I don't blame you because we were talking about it in the office this morning. He's done something obviously to irritate the higher ups on the team. So either get rid of him if you're just wasting a roster spot, or let him do something. Give him a chance to at least prove what you think about him.
Yeah.
I mean, if Tyquan Underwood can come in off the street and have a ball thrown to him that he should have caught for a touchdown, Taylor Price has been here for now 2 years. Give him a chance to do something.
What do you think about peeing on the sideline?
Oh, this whole Nick Novak thing?
Yeah.
Unless it's really, really, really an emergency, I would say run to the locker room and come back. Or have a cart drive you into there, make it faster.
A kicker, you could find a time where you could get away from it.
Yeah.
Lynn writes
in. I don't know. I don't think you can do that. You could literally score a touchdown on any play and need to be on the field.
Yeah, I guess.
That's true.
I don't think that's a chance you could take.
That's true.
What doesn't bother me at all.
What was he? I never saw.
He should get fined for that.
What was he peeing into?
He was kneeling, and they got. I the towels it was like around a cup him? Or a big cup or.
He was Tebowing while he was peeing.
Yeah, I'm not sure he had a cup.
Really? He was just doing it on the ground?
Yeah. I don't know why you
I don't know why you would pee into
something. I think
something
that's just
and
unsanitary. I think, you know, defecating and urinating where you're walking.
Defecating? He was peeing. Dogs do it all the time.
You know?
Now, did Goodell have him do a drug test at the
exactly
last minute
that we don't know of?
Huh?
Why is that? I mean, why are you worried about it being unsanitary? What are you doing down there?
It's just filthy.
Are you rolling around on it?
You could.
Well, then.
Guys get knocked out of bounds all the time and they're rolling on the ground.
First of all, guys pee their pants on the field. Guys poop their pants
on the field. Well, I was just going to read an email. Lynn writes in, I remember Mark Schlereth saying he used to pee his pants while he was set on the line. Would that be better than standing on the sideline and going on the ground between towels?
Yes.
But
I've peed in my pants.
I think you should do it in a bucket, though.
I just don't understand.
Why do you want to save the pee? To me, that's more unsanitary.
Save it, then the bucket boy goes and dumps it out.
Bucket boy.
And then
hey,
what do you do with
boy,
the bucket?
Take my piss.
You think that's more sanitary than just peeing on the ground and someone walking on it?
Yes.
Why?
No, you're out of your mind.
Because then you get rid of the bucket.
So you throw the bucket away then. Oh, that's good. We're just throwing buckets away now.
You know,
I don't get it.
I think
pee in the grass, it drains. Was it in grass?
Well,
it was in San Diego, so it was grass.
Okay, so Oh, yeah, they had the baby blue end zones.
Yeah.
That was nice.
But now, you know, like, let's just say you did it here. You get all those little rubber things. Those rubber things aren't going away. They're coated with.
Well, then you can't have a concert here because they piss during the
concert.
What
do you think is on those rubber things that's sanitary?
I don't know. I just don't like it.
Pigeon?
I don't like the idea.
Pigeon poop?
You guys like to go pee all over the place.
No, I'm with
I'm
you.
Not for
I'm with
that.
You, Fred.
We're not dogs just lifting our legs on everything.
I'm with you, Fred.
I think you should get fined for it. I don't think you pee on the sideline of an NFL game.
Some catchers pee on their hands.
Oh, for God's sake.
Make their skin more.
Well,
what hell is this?
That's serious.
It helps you for calluses. Moises Alou used to do it.
I'll deal with the callus.
I've peed on my feet.
How about a little Jergens? I mean, you have to go with the urine?
Wow.
What?
Jergens instead of urine.
take his in and beat urine, and take urine
take
and beat his
and beat the urine.
Right.
It really bothers you?
I don't mind him going on the sideline. I just think you do
you
it.
You shouldn't
in a
do it on the.
I want to know.
I agree
what
with the unsanitary part of.
I think
you know,
that's insanity. I don't know what you think is out there in the field that's open all the time.
How many times have we seen a player cramp up and then he goes to the sideline and the trainer is.
Right.
Stretching his leg. He's lying on the ground.
And you think it's dirtier now because there's urine there as opposed to just every day?
Not if it's
outdoors.
Not if it's the same game.
It's unsanitary by definition.
These are 300-pound men who are sweating gallons during games.
It's just
blood and things are mixing together.
It's blowing my mind that what do we think is out there in terms of sanitation? It's an open air stadium that's open to everything.
You don't think birds poop on the field?
Provide.
Oh, come on.
You don't think there's bird poop everywhere?
All right, so
have you been here where all the geese poop everywhere?
You
you got to avoid geese dropping
different
branches.
You put your kid down in a park knowing that they're sitting in urine.
You know they are because either a squirrel, a dog, or something has pissed there.
I just can't imagine that you're doing it not thinking
I think
there's
if you can avoid urinating on the ground, and
I mean, would I
put a bucket, in a bucket.
Would I put him in a puddle of urine knowingly? No. But there's no way I'm putting him down on the ground saying to myself, no one peed there.
Right.
There's nothing to worry about in terms of a lack of
sanitation.
Look,
I think if you can avoid peeing on the ground
on
the sideline, you should.
I believe this is the first time we've talked about him peeing on the sideline, so it's a one-time thing.
I'm with you on that. I don't think he should have been peeing on the sideline.
He had to go.
But I don't mind.
I don't care about the ground. I don't think he should be peeing in front of 60,000 people.
That's where I disagree. I mean, if you have to go, nature calls sometimes is an emergency. I'm assuming that he could not hold it.
Right.
So you do it in a bucket.
Yeah, I agree with
what's
Fred.
What's the big deal?
Have, why save
or
it?
Or get like
piss
a really
the
big
ground.
They have all those Gatorade cups all over the place. I mean, there's something that it could, you know.
Making much ado about nothing. Move on.
That was legendary. pee in a bucket, that's okay. Peeing on the floor, not.
Like, do you lay in your lawn? I mean, sometimes you're just out there and you're playing with the dog. You don't think deer are walking through every night pissing and pooping?
You have a dog, too, right?
And yeah, your dog.
But they go off to the side.
No, they don't. You had brown spots that you had to fill in.
Nick Novak. Nick Novak was off to the side.
She died.
But, I mean, there's ants. There's nothing in nature is like perfectly
clean. I understand that,
but
you don't do it, on, you know, knowingly. And, you know, if you can avoid it, you do.
He couldn't. I agree. As Paul said,
he could have gone in a bucket.
Well, that's
I think
not avoiding,
that's grosser.
That's not avoiding anything.
I think that's grosser.
I'm with Fred on this.
Now there's urine hanging around, or another person has to hold his urine.
I think he peed in one of those like Gatorade cups.
Good.
Honestly.
And I got to throw away a bucket now. I don't.
That's disgusting. Just
that's
piss
okay.
on the ground. If he were a real player, he probably would have just gone
in
his pants.
If it's in a corner, like where people aren't, okay. But this is like right there on the sideline.
He did his best. He created a shield. He got a towel. You're not, but you're not worried about him peeing. You're worried about the fact that he peed on the ground.
Yeah, I think he should.
Right,
be, I think
exactly.
He's mad that he peed.
Right. I think he should be fined for peeing.
I don't care
in front
about
60,000 people. Right.
Just pee. He had to go. It happens. He's a kicker. He doesn't sweat a lot, so when he drinks all that Gatorade, it just comes through.
And I'm sure that's a problem because these guys go to great lengths to stay hydrated.
Right.
I'm sure they.
It's a fine line. You
when
play.
Andy used to, you know, pump iron at the gym, they used to just whip it out and just pee as they were walking. Yeah, you know.
There's toilets at gyms.
Yeah.
I'm not in a competitive environment where I can't get away.
When you're really in the zone, though, when you're lifting heavy iron, you can't take time to go to the bathroom. You just pee, and who cares?
Should they have porta-johns on the sidelines, do you think?
For the players?
Yeah.
Only if it doesn't obstruct the view of the...
You could put a short one, like a little one that they have to kind of back into.
That's not a bad idea, Eric. And somebody could sponsor it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait for it. What do you got?
Brooklyn Matt writes in.
Why do we read his emails?
Well.
why?
There it is in a nutshell. Andy's music fandom neatly gift wrapped for me. Andy said the Country Music Fest this year was really good.
No, they I've never been to it. I said it's better this year.
They added Tim McGraw and Kenny Chesney. Paul asked if he wanted to go. Andy said, I really like them, but not enough to see them.
Right.
Well then, Andy.
Concerts
suck. Don't really like them, do you?
Yes, I do.
And I challenge you to name 5 songs of each. You can't. Well, that's not really liking them now,
You're
is
an
it?
Idiot.
Secondly, there's a lot of urination at stadium concerts when it's a half mile through a packed crowd to get to the bathroom and a half hour wait in line for the chicks since
like Gillette Stadium.
They get there. Lastly, Andy, if you take another shot at my credibility or call me a fraud or a troll again, you're itching for a phone call. Even though we're frenemies like Seinfeld and Newman, I don't think you really want that.
Oh, I think I do.
Frenemies.
I'd like it too. I'd like to see
what
it.
Are the 5
I'd like
songs
to see the two of you
Kenny
get into it.
You don't. So you really
well,
don't like
I have at least 3 CDs of each guy, but I don't know names of songs. I couldn't tell you the name of any person I like their songs. Like, there's a song I love right now. I don't know any of the words. All I know is, no, that's not it. That's the
Y50.
But I get caught to tunes and stuff. I'm very into just
so
like,
you don't
things.
Really
Kenny Croon.
See, that's the difference. I don't have to analyze my music to like it. I have to turn it on and say, do I like it? Does this make me feel good right
you're
now?
You're a big concert
and
guy.
And if the answer is yes,
concert.
Then I like
at
it.
At one time, I really like going to concerts.
See, I don't like concerts.
Yeah.
I don't, I just.
Concerts are great.
It's not for me.
Yeah.
And they're too expensive.
But I don't hold it against anybody for
going,
though.
Unless I've got a good seat and I'm not going to be, have some
18-year-old
kid in front of me. Yeah, now,
I come to a concert to sit.
Back in
I paid for a seat, I'm going to use it.
No,
now sit down, you punk.
No, I like standing up, but I want to enjoy the music, too.
I just want to make sure I get the rules down of how to watch.
No standing at concerts.
Oh, the rules. Oh, boy.
My God.
Now you see the irony.
Hello, pot. Meet kettle.
Yeah.
They're both fat.
By the way, two
different kind of
pot calling the kettle fat.
Andy.
It's a cauldron.
Two brain surgeons that picked up on the sarcasm, by the way.
Yes.
RJ writes
picked
in
up on it, Paul.
East
We're
Lansing.
Just
yeah.
Now Andy's his friend.
Oh, you know, see, now he's
mad.
Yeah,
now Paul's mad.
Yeah.
Who's your.
Who?
Who's your friend?
Andy's your friend now. Now you're going to confide with Andy.
Well, that's what we do on this show.
Well,
first
we change loyalties.
I'll let you know that he puts out a word every day.
It's been. It's been 12 years. You don't know that I change allegiances like I do underwear?
RJ from East Lansing, Michigan says, I used to play football at Michigan State, and I can recall many times A player would have two managers hold towels around him, and he would piss into a trash can against the wall so no one would see him. The wall was tall enough that the people in the stands couldn't see. Not a big deal. I don't think so. It's in a trash can. I don't mind that.
What's in a trash can? A trash bag that somebody then has to pick up.
I don't care.
And there's, you ever see those trails that they leave behind him? Now it's piss. It's a trail of piss everywhere.
Yeah, but I didn't know, so it was okay.
Just piss on the ground. That's the best place for it to go. That's
where
it ends up anyway.
You've never peed outdoors, by the way? Bupper butt boy?
He's
you
talking
never,
to you,
you never peed outside?
But that's sanitary.
Sure, in the woods, yeah, all the time.
It's okay in the woods.
You know what a bear does in the woods.
Right.
You know what Fred does in the woods.
That's like your working environment. The sideline, that area, is like your working environment. Right. Go off to the side.
Do you like lick
the ground?
You don't
pee where you work.
I mean, I don't understand.
And it turns out he didn't pee on the ground there anyway.
Why standing on the sideline is making it unsanitary?
No, not in the area that you're working. It's like, why don't you just like, you know, stand next to your desk and pee on the carpet, Paul?
What's this?
What's that?
Did you see this catch?
What a catch.
That's my God.
That's unbelievable.
That's a backhanded, one-handed catch.
Who was that, Marshall?
Marshall,
wow.
Marshall.
We are. Jeez. That's might be the best catch.
All right. That's going to be
it
for this edition.
No, another hour. We're cooking.
You always got to leave them wanting more.
Where's Rook?
More pee talk.
No Rook?
No Rook today.
It's going to
be
all? Eric
and
Kevin.
No, it's not.
Does he work here?
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Who's coming in?
Jeff Howe called in sick at the last second, so we have nobody. We're going to replay.
Replay.
Oh, you don't want to do an hour with just an hour?
No.
Why not?
No. Bruh. I got work to do.
Bruh. Well, if Rook was here, you'd do it.
Yeah, but that's, you know, it's Rook.
It's Rook. I know. I get it.
It's a Rook and the Queen. Now it'll just be the Queen.
Thanks
it's awkward.
For trying, Fred.
Jeff would you do it if he would?
No? Sure, why not?
Why don't you do a show with him for an hour? Just an hour.
No. Can't.
I got to go do 3 points.
We all have.
Then I got to do Felder.
Yeah, but I don't understand, Eric.
That's
all right. Why
we've done the replay enough times. People are okay with that.
How do you? Wouldn't you
How
rather
do I know?
Give them
People
more
love this
opportunity?
Show. That's why.
More opportunity to call and email in.
They can do that.
Email in.
Huh?
No, we're good.
Ooh, huh?
What?
Well, I don't understand. Why not take one for the team here?
For the team, not from. <Right.
laughs> This is an Andover.
This isn't your little
oh, yeah, that's gross.
So, no,
it's fun when you joke about it.
You're refusing to help Patriot
Nation. We all know Andy doesn't want to stay either.
No.
Do an hour with
no.
Kevin.
No, I can't.
What do you mean you can't?
You hate Kevin?
What do you mean you can't?
Because I do. It's okay if you want to admit it.
No, I don't
hate
can't.
Kevin. No.
Why?
What can't?
I'm not prepared for this.
You can spew your words. You can do like one every 5 minutes.
No. It's only one a day, and it's on
Twitter. Why don't you do an hour of Word with Friends on the radio?
On the radio, yeah, that'll be compelling, Fred.
Well, like they do in the paper? Isn't
no less so than on
the
Twitter.
Paper, they
the play-by-play of Eric playing Words with Friends.
Wow. Right now, I'm going to use my X and my Y.
I'm very disappointed.
Sexy.
It's all right.
You know?
We'll survive.
You're looking for things that you can tell girls that you do. Here's a chance to host your own show, and you don't do it.
Nah.
We may have talked a little bit about your
Stevie Johnson
fined
ten grand for that.
She wasn't listening because I asked her to call in or email and she didn't.
Doesn't mean she wasn't listening.
Yeah, she's a secret girl. She's
embarrassed. All right, we got to go.
She's embarrassed to
see you tomorrow.
With
emphasis,
with you.
Emphasis
we'll see
on girl.
You know, so we decided that, Eric, you have to change your strategy.
No, I think I can still hear me and Fred.
So we're still talking. Strategy.
Yes, you need to go after desperate divorcees. They have good alimony payments from their husbands. It'll be great for you. You can get money and punani.
All right, that'll be it. We'll see you tomorrow. Started out all alone. And the sun went down as it crossed the hill. And the town lit up.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to PFWOnline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.